Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link here on Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? Welcome. Got a nice show going for you. So if you want to give a call here, it's 646-721-9031. Get you a couple questions answered. Please do so. We'll be glad to do that for you. So, Dee, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So how you doing tonight?
I'm still kicking around. We have one caller already.
Really?
We had two, and the second one disappeared.
That
and the
happens
chat room won't
open. Not really. Just keep working with it, I guess. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it just keeps going round and round and round.
I don't know. It could be that Mercury retrograde going on. I'm not sure
well,
that's still affecting everything now.
My mood doesn't improve.
Right. So, also, shoot, where am I at? Yeah, again, if you want to give a call in here and get a couple questions answered, please give us a call at 646-721-9031. We also like to get a nice thank you to our sponsor, Richard Berlanga. He has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. Go check it out. That's www.DivineBodyWash.com. And he's also offering for the listeners of the show, if you donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he'll also throw in a bottle of mist. Right. If he's giving away bodies, I guess everybody would be jumping on that bandwagon, right? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he makes the body washes to your specification. It's a very spiritual, enlightening thing. He said it actually works with your energy and a spiritual, I don't know if you want to say spiritual ingredients or what, but he does make it to your specifications of what's going on in your life and that kind of stuff. So go check it out. That's DivineBodyWash.com. Also, if you're into a situation where you're actually having a good time and you want to add some music to your CDs collection, as in doing different kind of music that you'd like to have for your meditations, check out HemiSync CDs. The HemiSync CDs is a technology where it actually has a tone underneath the music that actually enables both hemispheres of the brain to work together, which gives you a great intensity, great concentration and focus. So go to www.HemiSync.com. They have some specials going on, usually around the holiday season, so I think we got some holidays coming up here, Easter and that kind of thing, so go check them out. They actually have MP3 downloads, too, as well. It's another company, too, BrainSync. BrainSync is actually subliminal CDs. And what I thought was so good about the whole thing is when you go in there and check out the CDs themselves, they actually tell you what's on the CDs that you're actually hearing and that kind of thing. So just check it out. That's www.brainsync.com. I don't have any numbers right now, but I guarantee you the best way to go about the whole thing is go on the website and check it out. They also have some MP3 downloads too, which are really cheaper than the CDs themselves. You can download it to your computer, download it to your cell phone, so you can always have it with you at all times. So give it a check. So you say we have a call, Dee, and I would like to give out your information to everybody
who
can contact you. So go ahead and give your information out too.
If anybody wants to contact me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com and just put in the subject matter that you're looking for reading or, you know, reading information, whatever. And for an email reading, I would say my donation fee would be like $20. I work with your budget. If you want to me to read for you on MSN or Yahoo, I can do that as well. And if you'd like a phone reading, my phone number is 207-374-5072. And usually for an hour's worth of time, I suggest a donation is $60, but I will work with your budget. And I take PayPal. And I think that's just about it. If you're interested, I have a business called Dreamweaver Designs, and I make handmade jewelry with semi-precious stones like turquoise, moss agate, different things like that, and good silver from handmade hillside silver from Thailand. You can contact me at the same email address, and I can send you some pictures to show you some of the things I've done. I do have an email address for my business, but we'll start with the other one first and see how it goes.
Okay,
and that's
no problem
for the moment because I still don't know anything about my show.
All right. No problem. Also, you can contact me, too, at 740-601-9835 or through my website, which is actually www.psychicjourneyman.com. And we do reading. I do personal readings and sessions as well, and life coaching and relationship counseling parties, group readings. So give us a call, 740-601-9835. Also, if you want to contact us on those donations, if you want to donate to the show and that kind of thing, about and also get the information about the body wash and other things to go there. If you donate $35 or more, please contact us. We'll give you all the details. And also, we also sell blocks of time. So we do sell gift certificates. And so go ahead, and we're also looking for sponsorship too, additional sponsorship. So if you want to take advantage of that too and advertise your product, give us a call, 740-601-9835. Okay, Dee, you said we have a caller? Bring them on.
Yes, we do. Area code 503, which is apparently Oregon. I'll put them on the line.
Okay, 503, you say?
Hello?
Yes, 503. Are you there? Hi.
I am. Well, how are
What's
you
doing? 503. Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
It's Yvonne.
So, Yvonne, how can you're in Washington State?
No, in Oregon.
Oregon.
Gresham, Oregon.
Oregon.
Mm-hmm. We have the weirdest weather here today. Started
I think
snowing
it's
a,
I think
and
it's,
then hailing and then the sun came out. So.
tropical heat wave after the big storm, huh?
No,
I was just sitting there looking at the ideal. I was looking up your area code 503, not for to find out where you're at, but in my angel book. And the 503 means heaven is helping you to change and improve your life. Your ideals are inspired by God and the ascended masters who are watching over you and protecting you and your loved ones. Be aware of and follow your feelings or thoughts about making positive changes in your life. So, Yvonne, how can we help you tonight? And did that kind of go along with what's going on in your life right now?
I do feel like I'm kind of moving in the direction of taking more power in my life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that does go along with what I'm doing. I feel like I was very wishy-washy for a while about some things, and I'm not sure what happened, but something happened that catapulted me, and I just stopped, you know, standing still and doing a bunch of things that are pushing me forward. So, yes, I think that does make a lot of sense. But the reason I'm calling is that I've been out of a relationship now for about 2 years. It'll be 2 years in April. And I mean, I always have men around me here and there, but I haven't met anybody that I have felt the connection with or anything like that. And I recently met somebody. It's kind of an awkward situation, and I'm not sure. I just kind of want to know if my intuition's right and there's something there, and if it will lead to something, or if I'm just out of practice.
Okay, no problem. With the situation you're talking about, you said the situation itself is kind of crazy.
Yeah, this person is a superior of mine. Not in the sense that he's my boss. And the situation is going to come to an end here in the next couple of weeks, where he will no longer be in that position over me. Or right now, well, I'll just tell you, he's my professor, and so but that my term is ending, so you know that situation will change. However, I will no longer be at that school, so I don't know if anything will come about or not.
So he's your professor at college?
Yes.
And you're going to college, which I guess is coming to an end here soon, huh?
Okay, no, so I'll continue, but not at that school.
Okay. So why is it an awkward situation? Because he's your teacher, being the professor?
He's my professor, yeah. So I feel like there is energy between us, but I feel like I don't want to be obvious, that's for sure, because, well, my grade is still hanging, and, you know, it just feels inappropriate, I guess.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that the idea of this being inappropriate is because the idea is your teacher and the idea of influences and grades and that kind of stuff, and someone might get a little, think something's up, huh?
Right, and actually just because there is energy between us, I feel like there are people already kind of watching, you know.
I always wonder about those situations,
well,
why people would be
maybe
watching.
Maybe I'm just reading the situation.
No, I'm just saying the situation.
Kind of
all these freaking.
To see if you guys.
No, it's just the ideal equation of ethics and all this other stuff, where you just want to take this stuff and just throw it out the freaking window, because it's amazing how many limitations that as humans we put on everything else to actually keep us, and actually, I think sometimes actually could be in a situation of finding a significant other, or twin flame or soulmate because of these ideals of ethics and stuff. And I just feel like, you know, with the situation of sincerity, if we have two people who do connect, more likely it's on a loving connection and that kind of stuff. So the idea of all these other things that people might think happen, you know, someone being impartial and give you a better grade than they would have in anything else, it's just their own insecurities. And they've all put these freaking crappy little things in a way to make them feel good inside that nothing's going on. You know, I feel like with the situation you're talking about, that you do feel like there's... when I look at the situation of your professor, I would look at a person who's holding back. And right now, the way he holds back and the way he's blocking the thing, you really can't really focus on or pick up on what really is going on with him, but you do feel like he's holding back something. So there's definitely feelings that haven't been expressed. So I don't feel like I don't feel like it's your imagination. There's something definitely going on between the two of you. Would you say this guy's about 20 years older than you?
No, it's funny because he has definitely, you know, thrown some hints out there about his age, and I know he's been fishing for my age, but I'm pretty sure we're probably the same age, but I look really young for my age, so he probably can't read it.
What's your birthday?
Just from what he told me, he mentioned, he threw out some incidences that he had when he was in high school, and he threw out like the time frame he was in high school.
Okay. So,
I picked up that he was kind of trying to tell me how old he was, you know.
Oh, I was going to say, was there dinosaurs?
I'm not sure about the same age. No, not dinosaurs. No, I would say he's probably around 44, 45.
44, 45? And you are?
I'm 43.
You're 43?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was just picking up the idea of the whole thing. Where it kept on coming up as something like 20 years. So I'm just trying to figure out what that means. And, you know, it could be his demeanor, too, that he has a tendency to carry himself away where you really couldn't tell how old he was. But I do feel like that one thing I feel like you might have to do is the ideal of approaching him first. And of course, after these other things have changed, but I still feel like there's definitely something there. I just feel like in some ways he would open up more if someone approached him. Would you have a problem with that? And it got really quiet. You there? Hello?
Hello? She disappeared. I don't know what happened. Well, she got cut off.
Well, that's
kind
of crazy. Something
popped down here on my screen. It was weird.
Okay. Anyway, what the situation we're talking about is just the idea of her making the approach first. I feel like there would be an opportunity that comes along where she'll be able to do that.
Ah,
and
she's back. Hold on.
Okay.
I clicked her on and she disappeared.
Again.
That's freaking weird.
Oh, it happens. Do we have anybody else in the queue?
Meeny, meeny, jelly, beanie. Nope.
Yeah.
This is freaking
kind of
weird.
Oh, well. She gets a
this
call
has
back.
Been a weird day.
Yeah. Well, when she calls back, we'll put her back on and that kind of stuff and keep watching on the switchboard. But if anybody else out there wants to give a call in here, we're going to be here for 2 hours. And I kind of like, So give us a call at...
Ah, here we go again. Here she is.
Hey, sorry. I don't know what's going on.
Hi, what happened?
I don't know.
No, it got a little weird here.
I know. Made me think Spirit didn't want me to hear this.
Could be.
I don't know. Spirit's a little weird today, I think.
That's right. You never know in situations
about,
like
you,
this.
You had me on the hook. I was just about to hear what you were going to say.
No, I ask you, I'm trying to trace the conversation back when we actually did lose you. So what I was saying was I felt like that after
you
everything
did
kind
after
of...
did after birthday.
Right. The one thing I was working on the most was looking at the situation and saying, I feel like you would have to make the first approach. And I said, that's when everything disappeared. But I asked you, would you have a problem doing that?
Yeah, I don't think I would have to make the first approach. I don't think that's going to be the issue. I think right now he just, because he's actually very forward with me.
Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, would you have a problem doing that? And
no,
I'm just saying,
no, I would not.
Because the very important thing about this,
right?
Even if he was straightforward about the whole thing, sometimes we have a tendency to procrastinate with certain situations that we're not too sure about. That's what I was saying. And it's just the idea of keeping things on an even keel where, you know, we're talking about spontaneity here, where we want things to continue just like that. So when the approach happens and that kind of stuff, I'm just feeling with what I can pick up with the situation of being in an awkward, well, I wouldn't say awkward, but just being in a certain situation where I feel like you would approach him first. He might be full with some body language. I'm just saying it seemed like you would say something verbal, and that's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes I sit with people and say, hey, guys, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. When it comes to readings and that kind of stuff, I'm not saying that you're going to have to do the whole thing. I'm just saying from the impressions I get of how things are going to unfold is mm-hmm. that whole thing. And I have a lot of people who say, no, I don't think it's going to happen that way. I'm like, no, don't you realize I'm the psychic? I'm telling you, this is how I feel like it's going to happen. So just brace it and let it go and go with the flow of the whole thing because, you know, things always happen for a reason. So therefore, the reason they fall in place is because it's going to give you the best advantage, and it's also going to be in your best interest. So you let things follow through. Because I'm very aggressive too. But when a girl comes off and comes to me and wants to approach it first, I have a tendency to see that and step back and let her do what she got to do, because it makes her feel more confident in the situation. And that's what I picked up here. So just go with the flow. I've had so many people call me up lately and say, okay, this is what's going on. I don't know what's up. And this and that. I said, okay, this is what I feel is going on. They go, nope, that's not it. I'm like, okay, how do you know that? You just told me you didn't know.
Probably because we're involved in the situation, and so, you know, we're actually seeing what's happening. So, you know, my concern was, you know, would we continue where we're at once the term ends and I'm no longer in his presence all the time? I mean, he's asked me out, but I feel uncomfortable doing anything at this point, and I don't know if he'll approach me again or not, and that's kind of...
Well, it's like one of those situations. I look at the situation, I say, we'll approach you again, and I think, that's what I was saying before, I don't like the idea that these ethic limitations. I've actually talked to a woman, because there was one, I had one client who was interested in her lawyer, and I was actually talking to the dude myself, and I felt like he was interested in her too, because as soon as I mentioned her name in the process of me going to see the guy, next thing I know, he's scooting me at the door. I gotta go. And you look at these situations and you go, I don't think I can do this. And the one thing you really get angry with is, you know, just go with the flow. What will people think? So it's like looking at a situation. It's like, yeah, like looking at a situation going, if it's happened between the two of you, the one thing it kicks in their head is the idea of lack of trust. And I think it's lack of trust in themselves because they need to go with all the flow.
Fine.
So, yeah, because I've had clients before and with certain situations had no problem dating in these situations because they felt like that it was a connection. It was a twin flame and a soul, so they went through with it.
Right. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe there is this sense that it isn't that. Maybe it's just something new, and so, you know, I find it exciting, but it's really not anything that I should be putting energy into. And I guess that's what I was calling about.
Well,
but you've given me some insight.
Well, let me sit here and look at this way, okay? I have my romance cards. And the other day, I was sitting there and told a person, she goes, who do you think this guy is? Do you think he's my soulmate? And I actually pulled up the soulmate card. And on the soulmate card, it actually says, for verbatim, it says, this is your soulmate. So,
oh, wow.
So well, I like these cards because they're pretty straightforward about the whole thing. And the person got kind of excited, too, with the whole thing, going, really? Well, you're the one who told me you had the feeling. Now you're shocked
I totally do. I just, I'm so out of practice, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to trust it or not. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But see, the one thing I tell people, the idea of intuition and psychic abilities, we all have these things. And the reason we have all these things is because in the process of making decisions, we're always leaving ourselves open to hear the guidance that's coming through. So when we all sit here and say, have you been listening to your angels on your career and on your family and on yourself and that kind of stuff? And if the answer is yes, then the only reason you're kind of doubting the situation, for some reason, I don't know what it is. It's like you really want to sit down with people and say, you know something? All those intuitional things you've been out throughout the whole day, you know, should I turn right here? Should I do this kind of stuff? Those are the things you're supposed to do with your relationships, too. It's not different.
Sure.
Intuition's intuition. But for some reason, when it comes to those relationships, we all kind of freak out. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, relax. It's like relax, relax, relax. And say, okay, trust. Because really, it's the ideal that we look at and say, I don't think it's out of practice. I think it's the ideal. Should I trust myself because of what I've been through?
Yeah, I think that's very much
my
it.
Past.
Sure.
I may, you know, people sitting going, love has let me down. I said, no, the person that you were loving let you down. Love has never let you down. Love has always been there. You've always loved unconditionally. It's just the idea of finding that one person is going to give you back exactly what you're putting out. So love has never let you down. Love is love. And then, you know, it's the idea of people.
Like, at least for me, I think it's, you know, I haven't been spiritually in a place that I've made choices that could be, you know, long-term benefit. And I'm not really wanting to invest time anymore in choices that are not spiritually in line with what I'm, where I'm going. And so I think that's why I tend to second guess myself, because I don't want to make a wrong choice, I guess.
Well, that's the point. See, when we second guess ourselves, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It's when we when that first bit of information that comes through and says, "I feel something here." You should really pay attention to that, because that's the truth. And that's when the one thing I picked up the most was saying, "Stay optimistic about your love life." It says, "Positive thinking, faith will bring the romance and this situation around." It also talks about new love. A new person has stirred your romantic feelings. So basically, they're saying that the feelings are real and they're worth exploring. It also says separation. Now, I was actually looking at the cards where it says free yourself, separation, and finances and career. It says financial. That's what I was saying. People don't realize how much the connection there is between relationships and your financial situation because of making decisions and stuff. And this one here, financial issues are a factor in your love life right now with the situation. But also I saw separation where it says time apart from your partners on the horizon. But also I saw the next card was next to that, gave us some insights on why that is, where it says free yourself. It's time to take back control of your life, which means the idea of trusting your intuition. Because the intuition is like angels and guides don't take a day off. They're always there. It's the idea of learning that, like I said before. The very first thing that comes through is the divine guidance, because the term itself, second-guessing yourself, should tell you what the guidance is. It's the first thing. And I saw the separation, and what it's saying is there could be separation between the two of you and the situation of not following through with the guidance that comes through at the time that you need to do it. You know, we've all had those situations where we meet people or we have a connection or we just haphazardly run into somebody and we question it later on, saying, well, maybe I should have done something because you felt like you should have. There's something in you. And what they're saying is you need to pay attention to those things at the time that they happen so you can follow through with them so you won't be doing that later on and analyzing, should I have done anything? You know, just do it.
Right.
Because so many people, I had this one lady, she was like, I said, why don't you just ask this guy out? I'm scared he'll reject me. I don't want to be embarrassed. I said, I do. You know why? Because I get an answer. I know. If I go and ask a woman out and she turns me down, do I get embarrassed? I'm like, no, I got an answer. She doesn't want to go out, so we go on to the next one. You know, that didn't work out, or something's there, or even looking at the situation going, okay, if they're going to tell you no at the front, I do not feel like falling into this human trap of chasing after people. You know, if you're going to say no to me, I'm probably going to put you in a situation that you're going to learn. If you want something, you better say it. Because I have a tendency to take you for what you say. So if you're one of those people come to me and say, you know, I don't want to, but I do. And then you get mad later on because, why didn't you do something? Because you said you didn't want to, so therefore I took it for what it is. I've actually had this one too. You're psychic. You should have knew. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to play games. That's game playing. If your life is so freaking boring that you got to play with people's feelings, then you better step back and take a look at yourself, because it's definitely a huge reflection of yourself. That when people do those kind of things and walk away from you, it's time to look at yourself and say, okay, maybe I should have approached that a different way. Yeah, people do find it disrespectful when you do those kind of things because they don't feel like you're serious. And especially if you meet someone who definitely wants a serious relationship. You know, it's okay to be joking and that kind of stuff, but usually that kind of stuff doesn't happen until you're in a relationship. So it's the idea of this situation here of saying, I don't know I was looking at these cards of justice. almost like the idea of focusing on your career as bringing fairness and protection to others who need your help. I was kind of curious about exactly what do you do?
I'm studying to be a doctor.
Okay, well, I guess that makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
Some people do have a tendency to become doctors because of crappy doctors that are out there, wanting to bring fairness and want to be people nice. It's amazing, some of the healers out there, too, who have a tendency to not do their life purpose. They kind of get caught in the whole thing. You know, the one thing I saw here, too, is you need to engage really into your life. And, I'm not really sure exactly what that means, but that's the message to actually look, take, it's like, how would you put it? I'm not just saying we're not. It's like looking at the situation and saying, you need to really engage in your life. Look for depth in everything, deep, deep, deep stuff. And the more you do that, the more you trust yourself. It's also talking about infinite abundance, too. It says you're fully supported as you devote yourself to your divine life purpose. And then it says, it's okay to let your friends help you as long as you know who your real friends are. There are some friends that you have, I keep getting two, that are judgmental, who have a tendency to put things out there because of the way they think that they should be. So it's the idea of speak your mind and then trust your feelings and guide them and follow your dreams, which is the path that you've chosen. That's what they're talking about. And then the idea of you have a spiritual gift of healing, which goes along with the doctoring, and a desire to share it with others. So you're not just the ideal of being a doctor. It seems like it's also on a line of education, of educating other people to do the same thing as well.
Yeah, and I'm actually a tutor. That's what I do for a living now. Is I tutor the subjects that I'm studying. You know, that I tutor students in lower levels than what I'm at this point. But I'll enter medical school in the fall. And that was a big decision just because I've been procrastinating a little bit. I lost my mother about 6 months ago, and it just really kind of made me stuck a little bit, I think. And that's why, what happened.
Hello?
I'm here. Are you here?
Yeah, it was kind of freaky then. I was sitting there talking, all of a sudden everything went dark.
Well, it got a little funny. I've got the switchboard, and the thing popped down that said that there was a problem. Said you weren't, that, you know, you weren't called in or connected, whatever, and, you know, what did you want to do? And I just clicked continue. That's weird.
Okay. Well, it said Oracle card. It was actually
we're all disconnected.
Yeah, it talks about focusing on oracle cards. You're able to discern answers and guidance for yourself and others. So it's like, I think it's a confirmation of calling in. I'm actually doing a 5-card angel reading for you. And then there's another confirmation with energy healing. You're a natural energy healer. You have natural energy healing abilities, as in, that's a part of your life purpose too, where it's almost like the idea of being on a different level, even, you know, with a doctor. But you also see that you'll be working with, the one thing that keeps coming to me is Reiki, energy work.
I'm a Reiki master.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I've already studied, and I am a Reiki master, and I'm studying to be a minister, actually, as well.
Okay,
well, so, I'm trying to
confirmation.
Do all of that.
And it says, talk to your angels instead of worrying us. Ask for divine guidance, which is the idea we were talking about before, of, you know, intuition and your psychic abilities and those kind of things. It's just really sitting down and having a nice heart-to-heart conversations with your angels, like best friends at a table. It also says release your ex. And release your ex, express your feelings, go ahead and make the romantic gestures. That's what I was talking about. And then there's a connection. You also have a very strong connection where you can actually help, teach, and heal children.
Children love
so
me.
When you, well, when you're, one thing you have to realize in the process of being a light worker, kids are drawn to you because this is what we always have to look at, because what they always have to look at the angels saying, you know, when you play and you have fun, you can accomplish so much. And they also try to encourage that in any kind of work that you do, to always look at the fun, look at the humor, look at everything within it as enjoy. Because a lot of people have a tendency to get too serious. You know,
right.
They have this thing about seriousness, and then seriousness is basically more of, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And you have tendency, they have a tendency to lose track of what the purpose of what they're doing is, to help others. It's not about you.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, we started talking to people about being a medium. I said, well, look at the words. They're so educational. It means you're in the middle. You're the messenger. So it puts things in perspective. So you got to sit there and look at the situation just like that. No, people don't. But it's, you know, they're all going to get to a point where we hope that they do that. We've seen situations with preachers and ministers and people in spiritual work have a tendency to lose their voices because they're no longer using that voice to give the message. It's more about them. So, and it's amazing when they sit there and focus and correct the situation, everything comes back and they back in normal, you know?
Makes sense. Wow, yeah. I never thought about that. That's so true. Absolutely.
But I'm just saying with the situation, it's like, there is where he's going to come to you and do the same thing he did before. They're just encouraging that this time follow through.
Right. No, I will. I heard today that he was seeing somebody. Somebody made a comment about it in one of my classes, and he had told me that, you know, he hadn't been seeing someone for quite a while. They had broken up a while ago, like in summer. And so I was kind of shocked by that, and I think that's partly why I started second-guessing and thought, well, that's odd, you know, why would he tell me he wasn't seeing anyone if he was? And,
right.
It made me second-guess, you know, like everything, like, well, maybe I'm just totally misreading what's going on, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a practice?
Yeah, we always hear that. We hear that a couple times too, where people say, well, you know, you say what he's going to ask me out and we're going to get together, but he's dating someone right now. Well, today is only going to last for 24 hours.
Yeah,
and then another day comes.
Is, actually, I just think it's gossip and, you know, people wanting to make me second guess, actually, you know, so.
Yeah, you do have to watch certain people and their intentions of what they're even telling you. Because, you know,
yeah,
some people just come at you and speak things out of the blue, and you're like, okay, what are they telling me that for?
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and but it really helped to talk to you tonight. I'm glad that you were there, and even though we were disconnected several times, a lot of weird stuff happened.
I know. Taking turns. That's what it was, taking turns. First you left, and then I left. But we all came back.
I sure appreciate your time and your insight.
Hey, no problem. You ever get a chance to actually maybe book a past life reading or something, I think it would really help knowing certain things about your past. Huh?
I've never had one. I do those.
I do those. We've done, we've actually had a couple of shows where we've actually done some past life readings here on the show.
I guess I've always saw past lives as being, portal-wise, really. I've never seen past lives as, like, I don't know if I believe in past lives. I guess I see maybe alternate life. I think I believe in that a little more. That everything's kind of happening at the same time, and we have different experiences going on all at the same time. Different lessons that we're learning.
I would sit here and say I was in the same category as you was for a while until I had my first shop in Colorado, and some lady walked in, and we started conversing and talking to each other. And just next thing I know, we had covered 10 lifetimes together. that we had gone. Like, we've been in Egypt. We've been in Egypt like 3 times. We've been in Rome once. It was like at least ten lifetimes going through this.
Wow.
It wasn't like talking about past lives. We just started talking about that. Remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? We were doing down this whole thing, and I was just like, after I got done talking to her, we sit there and she ran down to a couple bars, and she said, "I'm gonna go get some people and bring them in here, you know, make you some money tonight." We actually were there until about 1:30 in the morning, and I was like, "This is kind of cool." And you start, I'm just telling people, when you start doing what you're really destined to do, and you put yourself into this, and don't quit riding the fence and just do it, so you'll be amazed at the experiences and the things you're going to go through. And this lady was sitting there talking and stuff, and I just met her. I mean, I actually caught her and this guy she was going out with the first time that night. I had done some readings, and they were out there waiting, and I caught him on the corner of my shop making out. And I asked him, I said, "Well, do you like my corner here about making out, or did you really want to come in to get a reading? You just, you know, down some things to do while you were waiting." And she was like, no. So we came in there and we did all, and like I said before, we connected really well. Her boyfriend, the guy was like, this was our first date with this guy, and he was just sitting there looking at us. Because we got caught up in this conversation, talking about all these past lives, and kind of like forgot about him.
And, how funny.
Yeah, and I told everybody, it wasn't a romantic connection. It was just a connection of two best friends connecting. And it was funny, when she was getting ready to leave, because we had a conversation where I sat here and said, I said, you know, she goes, she looked right at me and said, "Every lifetime, when I get off the path, I always come looking for you." And I said, "Well, yeah, you do, but you never listen." She goes, "Yeah, but it's good to see you." And, and then she's getting ready to leave. She walks over and she kisses me on the cheek and she said, "As always, it's great to see you." And she left. And I've never seen her since.
You've not seen her since?
No, it's one of those amazing connections of people and that kind of stuff. I can almost see these lifetimes like they were happening right then and there. But it gave me a different insight on things to meet someone like that.
I'm sure it did, yeah. Yeah, I thought about, you know, getting a past life reading before, but then I just always think, well, I don't know that it's something I need to know. Like, if anything, I'm probably trying to
Yeah.
To learn lessons and heal from past lives. I don't know that I need to revisit them.
Well, that's one of those things we use it for. That's our biggest thing we use them for. We sit there and you say, okay, we're going to focus. I want you to focus on an issue that you're having now. And then it's like focusing, relaxing, and then picking up these certain lifetimes with people and that kind of stuff to trace back ailments. Like we had with Valenian. One girl in particular who had a big claustrophobic thing about closets. And she couldn't walk up stairways. She couldn't walk anywhere. It was a confined area. Couldn't figure out why. And then this guy was accidentally, he was taking her back and doing a nice a past life regression. But he was just trying to take her back in this lifetime to find out what was wrong with her, what was causing this ailment. Being so claustrophobic because she was only 8 years old, you know, and they couldn't trace it back to anything. She'd never been, you know, anything in this lifetime locked in a closet or not like that. And the guy goes, he said, focus on being claustrophobic and being scared of closets and stuff, and then allow yourself to go back to the lifetime or just go back to that point in life where that became a problem. Well, in the process of doing that, she progressed back to 1897.
Oh, man.
She was actually buried in a coffin. I think it was a little further back than that. It was like the early 1800s, where she was buried in a coffin. She was buried in a coffin alive. But what's so funny about the whole thing was, once she realized where she had this phobia and realized it was in the past and it no longer existed, she never had no problems. No more. Her claustrophobic ailment was gone. And it was amazing. We tell people, I think it's amazing that now she's not claustrophobic, but see, it opened up a new world to her because now she could put her clothes away in the closet. I mean, can you imagine having a house where you had a walk-in closet that you could never go in there?
Yeah.
She couldn't go into elevators, stairways. So it actually opened up a whole lot more more to her life. Now she can walk upstairs if she chose to. She can ride up in an elevator because she couldn't go any further than the first floor.
Right.
So, you know, it was amazing how you turned this thing and just changed everything in her life. And all of a sudden you go, oh, my life is full now, so I can actually experience these and that and the other. So, you know, it was one of those things that happened that actually cured her of what was going on. And actually, that's one that we focus on, too, is, okay, we have a problem with this, this, and this, and this, and we go back to those certain lifetimes and do that. I've actually done past life regressions and past life readings. The difference between the two is a regression is where we actually take you and meditate in meditation, like almost close to hypnosis, and take you back. We also, what I do is I use the angels to make it a safe trip for you. Actually, the angels grab hold your hand as you go back to these past lives. And then we also have a past life reading, which is actually sitting there. Some people have a hard time with that, so relaxing, and I kind of have to go to be put in a state where they could actually do that. So what I do is I focus on those situations, and then I go, basically, I get pulled back with my clairvoyancy and the abilities I have, get pulled back to those situations. And then I can read it from there and give you the information. So it's one of those things we always tell people, whatever's
sounds
best
intense.
For you. It is intense. The one thing I've had with people that I usually play I have meditational music that I play, and people, it's kind of amazing that we can actually do it on the phone. It was just the idea, if you can hear the music and everything can go along with it, it can be done in almost
doable.
Any way. Yeah.
Where are you located?
I'm located in Ohio, which I'm actually moving to Colorado.
That's
so
interesting. That's where the ministry offers I'm taking. They're based out of Ohio.
Really? Whereabouts?
Fairfield.
Fairfield?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know where Fairfield. I think I know where Fairfield's at. It's pretty close.
It's,
I think it's in Ohio.
Yeah, that's where I'm studying. I do webinars with them.
Well, I know where that's at, too. That's actually a carnival I used to work with last year. That's one of their spots that they play. That place is hot, too, in the summertime. It's extremely hot. Yeah. They have I think it's the one where they have the fairgrounds. It's all in blacktop.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a good idea when you...
I'm planning on being there, actually, in May for my ordination. I'll be finishing my classes in May.
Well, like I always said, everybody, I'm committed. We do it on the phone. Still do the whole thing, because I'm actually moving to Colorado this month, the 14th.
I hear it's beautiful there.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those places that...
Well, I have to go, but thank you so much for your insights.
No problem,
you know, giving me those messages, and I will take them to heart.
Oh, you're welcome, and you have a great night. And thank you for calling. And please, if we don't hear from you for doing a reading or something like that, please give us a call back and tell us how things are going with you. Anyway.
All right, I will. Thank you so much.
All right. You
have a
good
great
night.
Evening.
You have a good night.
What the freak?
What?
Yeah.
So we haven't shut
things popped down again. We're doing a little funk. We've got three callers, and we've got the first one's in Maryland.
Okay, well, bring them on.
I just did. Hi there.
Anybody else out there want to give a call in here? Give us a call at 646-721-9031. And we have a caller on the line. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And welcome.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi. My name is Amanda. I'm calling from Maryland.
Whereabouts in Maryland?
I'm sorry?
Whereabouts in Maryland?
Oh, you said what about from Maryland?
No, where are you in Maryland?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Upper Marlboro, which is like about 30 minutes outside of D.C.
Upper Marlboro. Oh, I used to live in Rockville, Montgomery Village.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's not too far.
Yeah, I think I used to venture up there with the pest control company while I was working. So, you say, what'd you say your name was?
Amanda.
Amanda. And, Amanda, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I've never really called in to you guys before, and seemed really interesting. So we're kind of, I'm not sure. I guess.
Okay. What's your area code?
301.
301. Let me look up 301 real quick. There you go, 301. 301 says you are co-creating the answers to your prayers with God and the Ascended Masters. The more you keep your thoughts heavenward and positive, the faster your prayers are answered. Your heart is filled with faith, which has opened the doors for all of heaven to fully help you. God and the Ascended Masters have heard and answered your prayers. So it's basically one of those things of having faith, of the things that are happening and working behind the scenes. Excuse me. So what's happening in your life right now?
Right now I kind of feel like I'm at a standstill. I have noticed that my creativity has been really flourishing, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting it out to people and finding creative partners to work with and things like that. But I know personally it's really happening, you know, for myself, and I would like to share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do for a living?
Right now I'm in college.
Okay.
So I'm a student, but... I would like to be a writer and an actor.
So you're in college, and so what are you studying?
I'm studying environmental science.
You're studying what?
Environmental science.
Environmental science?
Yeah.
How's that going to get you into acting? I'm just curious. I'm going to be a tree. No, go ahead.
It was basically a compromise with my parents.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Let me ask you a question. Are your parents paying for this?
Yes.
Well, I had a funny feeling.
3 years, but the third year doing loans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's amazing with manipulation of parents, isn't it? And,
indeed.
You wonder if you've got some kind of genes in there from, you know, maybe you guys are related to the mafia. Yeah, it's kind of it's amazing. You know, they sit there and look at the situation like they look at you and go, you know, when you actually get out there and you do certain things, and then you have a tendency to do things that they would do. And they look at you like, where'd you learn that from? And you're like, gosh, you know, like on autopilot, was you? Because I've seen the same thing. Everybody's always suggesting this. Why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And yeah, don't people take notice of certain families out there who actually allow their kids to do what they feel like they should do and follow their own dreams and paths? Because haven't parents done just that? Gone out and done what they want to do? Isn't it time that we do the same thing? Yeah, of course, we're asking them to foot the bill. But again, they're the one that wanted to go to college. And that's true. But I just think it's kind of funny how people have a tendency to go, well, I think you should do this. And then they get angry because you don't do it. And then you're just trying to pursue. Because I think we all have this intuitional thing that comes along when we start going out there and doing what we got to do. And then we're trying to follow those dreams. And then we have all this friction. They don't realize how much it actually adds to the confusion. I mean, we already have enough shit. I'm sorry. We already have enough stuff going on with just life itself. So you like to have some kind of really strong support that would actually make things go a whole lot smoother. And that's why I was sitting here looking at the situation. I understand you made the compromise and that kind of stuff, but I think in some situations like these things, you need to correct it. And, of course, it's one of those things that when the opportunity comes along, I think it happens for a reason. and it needs to be followed through. And I feel like that's what's going to, I feel like that's what's going to happen here soon, because of the things that you really want to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what do you think, Dee?
Oh, I was just going to say the thing is, like, I feel so stuck, and I already have depression, and just, like, this feeling of not, I feel like I'm not, basically I feel like I'm not doing what I was put here to do, so that's just adding to my depression, to my despair, and I just feel so just miserable, and I've tried to explain that, you know, to my mom, and she can't get it. She, you know, I pretty much threatened to drop out of school, like, every semester.
No, I was just going to say, approach it from a different angle and look at the situation and look at your mom going, okay, you know, the reason, the definition and the idea of what's really going on with people that are going through depression is the idea of withdrawing from the world because they're tired of the worldly way.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at the situation and say, okay, depression happens because people keep pushing that worldly way down someone's throat or pushing it in their face and say, no, you need to do this in order to have a successful life. Not realizing that their definition of success more likely is different than your definition of what success is to you. Because that's the truth. It's perception. Perception says, what do you think success to you is? Success could be simply just doing what you want to do. And most people have a tendency to put a price tag on success and say, well, don't you want to be successful? And they've got some money? I was like, I am successful. I'm a manifester. Back off. You know, and it is a hard thing to say to your parents, but sometimes it needs to be said of just setting boundaries and telling people flat out, this is what's going on. Like, I did this with my mom. She came to my house, and I had a woman live with me. And she said, I don't approve of you having a woman living with you. I said, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. The door is right there. And she was like, okay, that's kind of rude. I said, honestly, I think it's rude for you to come in my house and dictate what I should be doing. Right or wrong, it's my house. So therefore, you're being disrespectful. And then she looked at me and she goes, well, who taught you that? I said, you did. You told me that when I got my own place, it was my rules, my way. Well, it's my house and it's my rules, and if you don't like it, you can leave. I'm being very nice about the whole thing. I'm just putting it out there. You know, it's like what I do for a living. She does not like what I do for a living. So I just basically told her. And it's not, you know, it's one of those things. I think it takes a lot of strength to do those things. But once you do it, it also brings a different dimension to your life. That you realize that just because you're saying it doesn't mean you're being disrespectful. All you're saying is basically putting it out there of your intentions. And, you know, this is your life. And they need to respect that. And that's what I told her. I just looked at her in her face and said, hey, you know something? I know you don't approve of what I do, but I have no intentions of stop doing it anytime soon. So it's one of those situations that make your decision what you want to do. Am I saying you have to approve of what I do? No, but I think you should be supportive of your son and his choices and what he's done and what he's doing and those kind of things. And look at the ideal of the experience and stuff and just the things that we do. Because it's amazing how many people out there think they know what we're doing, or they think they know what it's all about. But it's also, we don't know where their information's come from, so their perceptions can be totally different. But sometimes it just needs to be said. And some people want to sit there and say, you know, that, you know, you have to respect your mother and father. I think we are respecting them. We're telling them, this is my life, these are my dreams, and this is my path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has a tendency to set a balance within the relationship, too, as well. There's, you know, respect on both ends. People want the respect. And I think they also have to give respect before. It's not the idea of earning respect. I'm tired of hearing that crap. Either respect people and trust them or don't. But to sit there and say someone has to earn it, that's another thing of falling into a human concept. I think we always have to earn our dues. Do you realize in the beginning that everything was handed to us?
Mm-hmm.
Look in Genesis, Adam and Eve. They didn't do nothing. They didn't start doing and plowing the fields until they did something stupid of actually wanting to see duality. Because at that time it was just this is the way it is. If you need anything, great. You just ask for it. And it's almost like look at the situation and say, okay, how do we know Adam and Eve wasn't manifesting things at will? Because, God, you know, it says that he made man in his own image. So God is able to do all these things. So he made you in his image, the image of what he is. So therefore, you do that. There's a part in the book with Jesus where he says you guys are gods. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you're made in the image of a god, you know. And it wasn't until the idea of, I look at it this way, I'm more mad at Adam than I could be mad at Eve, because Eve's sitting there going, you know, she got tricked into eating an apple. If it was an apple, it was a fruit. I know it was a fruit. It could have been a peach. Because every time I see this lady biting into this fruit, I always see the juices going down her arms. I don't know why it's the vision I see. So it can't be an apple, because we know apples don't do that. Anyway, the only reason you get mad at Adam is because, see, Adam knew. And here comes Eve. Here, eat this. And Adam's sitting there going, okay, if I don't do this, she might get mad at me. So he ate the fruit. Because if you're a relationship counselor like I am, you see this all the time with men who don't have a backbone, okay? And they don't realize by not having a backbone, it actually adds weakness to a relationship. To actually be strong and be, there's nothing wrong with him being who he wants to be if she wants to be who she is. The reflection is just like that. The woman is basically manipulating him to doing what she wants to do because she has a weakness within herself. Which he's being weak. See how it reflects each other? All we see is weakness within the relationship. But once they start exhibiting their strengths and starts focusing on, she goes, I want this. And he goes, I can't do that. It goes against my ethics and what I think I should do. He stands up for himself. She respects him. They have respect for each other. And they add a strength to the relationship because of the honesty and communication. You know, take out the trash. I don't want to take the trash out. You know, you got three kids. Pick one of them. It sets balance. Seriously, it does. It sets balance within a relationship when one person speaks his mind and the other one sees that. It also opens the door so she can do the same thing too as well. Maybe she doesn't want to do something. It's just the idea of realizing that people talk about fairness and all this other stuff, but really what it is the idea of going back to basics of balance and realizing someone maybe it's the ideal. We have to have balance within ourselves. So when we start looking at these reflections, we see things about ourselves. So we correct those things within ourselves, which makes the relationship stronger. If it doesn't correct itself, then it's more likely telling you that this is not the one. And then make the decisions accordingly. I'm just saying, when you look at these situations and look at the idea of Genesis and everything else that goes along with it, everything can make sense if we allow it to. So, I'm sorry, we go into these little speeches, and when we hear about parents who have a tendency to take that little wedge, you know, I'm going to basically use that to get what I want and the direction I want her to go into.
Yep.
I'm just saying, with the situation we're talking about, we want to bring balance within the world. If everybody keeps compromising, how can we ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said before, it's just the idea of speaking one's mind and then making a decision and going forward and doing what you feel like you should do with your life. You know? Because I always feel like when we sit in guidance and we have guidance and intuition and all this kind of stuff and psychic abilities, our angels and stuff are to help us to make these decisions. So, if there's a voice within us that keeps telling us, man, I got to do something about this, it's your angels prompting you to speak your mind. So if that's happening with you, I really feel like that's what you should do. What do you think, Dee? I guess we'll never know. Hello?
Yeah. I don't know.
Dee? Hello? Hello? Dee?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah?
We were asking for
yes,
your...
Yes, and I guess my phone must have been on mute. Yeah, I'm agreeing because I can relate in some ways because I remember myself when I first moved back where I'm at now, I came back at the age of 37, and somewhere in there, my mother was still living here, and she turned 80, and we used to have family friends that would come to visit, and while they would treat me as an equal adult, my mother still tended to treat me, at least in their presence, as if I was still a child. I was never an equal. You're an adult. You know what you want to do. So you have to find a way to communicate to your family that this is what I want, and in such a way that they, you know, that you can get it through to them, because you are an adult and it is your life, and you should be doing what you want to do, what's right for you, and not what's right for them. It's not their life. They have their life. You have yours. And I agree with Donnie completely with everything he's told you. It's you need to stand up for yourself, and so that you can in some way have an adult to adult relationship with your parents. Because in some ways, yeah, you're always going to be their little girl, because that's the way families are. But at the same time, you are an adult, and they've got to start recognizing that and treating you as an adult, treating you with the respect that you deserve.
Yes. I was looking at the thing that everything you've experienced in your life has made you stronger and more courageous, and they need to see the strength within you as well as everybody else does who is not associated with them.
Exactly.
Which is kind of funny in itself. And it says studies, says reading, research, and education help you gain confidence and clarity about your career. So that's the reason you feel like you're stuck, because the more you keep doing, I guess you would sit there and say that we've seen it before, was people, they have the tendency to leave somebody for somebody else, and all that person does is remind them of where they really want to be at, which was the person they usually left, and they go back, and that's what we call the boomerang effect. But what this situation here is talking about, the more she actually stays on this course, the more it reminds her of where she really wants to be at. That's why she feels stuck. It's because she feels like she's stuck between a rock and a hard place, because she's trying to please everybody except for one person.
And that doesn't
work. Yes.
It doesn't work to be a pleaser. And I think what I see is once she starts following her own bliss, her own path, that the depression's going to lift.
I know.
The depression will lift, because you will feel, you're going to feel so much lighter and alive and happy.
I was looking at these two cards, actually three of them. It says finances and career, saying your financial issues are a factor in your love life right now. And then it says codependency, talks about, to me it's almost like addictions are affecting your romantic lifestyle. And then it says travel. Your life purpose involves traveling. And if you look at those three cards, it kind of puts more insight to what we were talking about, of making the right decision, because finances is a factor in some sense of the word, too.
Mm-hmm.
And certain things like that. You got finances, codependency, because you're allowing yourself to stay in the situation because of a certain codependency. But then the third card talks about travel. Your life purpose involves traveling, which really means, doesn't mean you would need to be a travel agency or a travel agent. It means traveling means making a decision to travel to where your life purpose is, which is where you're at now. Everything around you is just yelling out, this is not it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's has nothing, I wouldn't say it doesn't have anything to do with it. I think what you're actually been studying, that kind of stuff could actually give you insights as a character actor. But it's come to a point right now where it's like, okay, now we need to go and really put ourselves involved in what we need to do for our career, what we really want to do. Because you get the impression, too, the idea, if you could have taken and done something that you wanted to do in the first place, you almost get the impression that your career would have already been started, and the idea would have been both connected, as in going to school and drama classes and stuff like that, where you actually felt like you would actually be working. So you would actually be doing your career at the same time you'd be going to school, where you even get an impression that you might not even finish school because of certain things coming in for your career to actually work. So as those dreams, those things that you want to do. People don't realize, like, putting yourself in those situations, somebody can walk into an acting class or a drama class or something that has to do with those kind of things and just see you and see the potential right there. Like they always say, you can manifest your life purpose. You can manifest anything you want, but you also have to put yourself in a position to actually, you know, take advantage of that opportunity too. And if you're keeping yourself far from it, I mean, like if you want to be a forest ranger, you don't go to the police academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, how come I can't get a job as a forest ranger? Everybody keeps asking me for security. You know, so it's like, well, you know, you're not in that position. Like I was telling a friend of mine, I used to have all kinds of miracles and all kinds of great stuff happen to me, but I also decided to live my life purpose too. So in the process of finding these things falling in my lap and all these great opportunities are happening, was because of what I was doing. Now, some people didn't say, well, you're not making a lot of money. I said, yeah, but I'm sure I'm traveling a lot. You know, I went from Tennessee to Wisconsin to Colorado, been to California 3 times, you know. And it's just one of those things that's saying, well, let's go. Let's see what happens. Let's see what's going on. It's just the idea that in the process of doing this kind of work, the idea of also experiencing learning about manifestation, learning that the world will tell you something. You got to have money to get apartments. You got to have money to do this and money to do that. And I always say, no, you don't. All you got to do is have a thought and trust. Because I've actually done the opposite on a lot of those things, seriously. You say your name is Amanda, right?
Yes.
Like I was telling everybody before when I was in Colorado when we got the idea, when I got an apartment, almost a month and a half before I had the money, just had an opportunity to actually do something in exchange to get an apartment. Same thing with getting in a hotel room. I got a hotel room for like 3 days, almost 3 days. And I didn't have any money. Now, what I thought was so cool about it, too, was I told the lady I only have $15, right? And I only had $15 and that kind of stuff. And she looked at me and she's like, well, I'll give you a room until you get paid. And I even asked her, I said, you want my $15? It was $17. And she said, no, you'll need it more. You'll need it more than I do. And then she did. So things like that happen. Or you're at a store and you're standing in line. And most people, if you're like, you know, 50 cents, 20 cents short, there's always somebody in line that you go, oh, I got 50 cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was when you're standing in line and you're $1.50 short and somebody says, I got you. I think those things are dramatic. When those things happen, to show people exactly, you know, when you're sitting there and you get guidance as you walk through the door that you're going to go ahead and buy all this stuff because you're going to walk out of here with it. And then certain opportunities happen where you do that. You stop questioning things and you start looking for the extraordinary anymore. So that's what I'm saying with you. You're extraordinary and you need to put yourself in a situation so someone else can see that too as well. Because I don't feel like it'd be one of those situations with a career where, you know, it would definitely happen quick.
I mean, that's what I feel, too. I feel like it would, you know, as soon as I really start, it's just going to go. But I'm at the same, I guess it's not in low self-esteem or whatever. I'm really afraid, like,
mm-hmm.
for it to just happen, and even though I want it really bad and I'm ready, I'm just, you know, that fear is still there because it is a gamble. With school, you know that, you know, you could get a job maybe, you know, but you don't really know that particular in that particular field.
That's true too, sweetie, but you got to look at the situation like
that. Yeah, would you like fries with that?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, with the situation of putting things out there to the universe, it goes from being gambling to actually manifesting exactly what you want to happen. And I think there's a lot of people who actually are in acting and singing and that kind of stuff who really can't. But it seems like they have this focus, and this is what they want to do, and they got to focus so much, they actually manifest the opportunities to do it. So you have to sort of look at the situation like gambling. I've actually been in a situation where you walk into a store and you know exactly what's going to happen. All right? I've done this twice where I said, I got this feeling to go to the store. Actually, more than that. I think it's more like four or five times. But I actually walk in the store and I got this urge. I knew for a fact that when I walked in the store to get three scratch-off tickets or two, I was going to walk out with $50. So my friend says, you know, you shouldn't gamble. I said, is it really gambling if you know? And I did. Every time I've ever done that, I knew I was going to win. So, you know, I told my friend, I remember this one, the one time I went, I was in the house. I got up at 2:30 in the morning. Couldn't sleep. You know, kind of like, had a tendency to work late anyway. And I looked at my friend, and I said, I'm going to the store. He goes, what are you going to the store for? I said, this might sound funny, but I'm going to go win $50. He goes, okay, whatever. He said, I think that psychic stuff's going to your head. And I said, okay. I said, but I'll be back. So I went down, walked into the store, told the guy to give me two scratch-offs, saw this one thing. I scratched. It's kind of funny, too, because I won on the first one. I don't know why I got two, but I always did that. I always got two. So I got two, scratched it off, won $50. Walked back to I got me a chocolate milk. And at the time, I think I smoked, so I got a pack of cigarettes. Come back to the house, and the guy goes, so how'd you get that, man? He'll let you have any money. Told you I was going to win $50. He goes, so did you win $50? I said, yes, I did. And it was one of those things. I showed him the $50. I showed him what I bought, and he's like, wow, that's freaky. I said, really? I'm going to win $100. I gave her three numbers and told her to go play this whole thing. And then we went by the next day, and I said, well, go in and check and see if we won any money on that pick three. And she came back outside about 5 minutes later, and I'm like, why are you crying? And I said, did we lose? She goes, no, we won. I've never won anything. We won $100. So, you know, I don't know if that's one of those things. You can't do it for personal gain, but I think it worked really well because I was not doing it for my personal gain. I gave her the numbers, and she went and played them. But I have gone in places and done that whole thing before, too, because I felt like in the process of obtaining money for things in our lives, I think there's more than just going to work. You know, the process of doing those things, I think people go to work manifesting just exactly that. They manifest jobs. They manifest a 40-hour week or an 80-hour week or whatever it is. You listen to the people talk, that's all they talk about. I got to work 40 hours this week, man, to make this kind of money to pay this kind of bill. And that's all they think about. And you notice how you do that every freaking week. And then when they don't even say that, they still have a tendency to manifest the same thing every week. So I said, well, why don't you take one step further and manifest $1,000? Oh, they won't pay me that work. And I'm sitting there going, no, I didn't say that. I said, I want you to sit there and focus on manifesting $1,000 a week. So if an opportunity comes along that takes you out of that job, go with it, because more than likely what's going to happen is that $1,000 income is going to manifest. You just have to allow yourself to go with the flow of where it's going to take you to. Because people do have a tendency to keep themselves in situations because of the fear of what might happen, or not realizing, take the fear out of it by focusing your intent on it to actually manifest exactly what you want. So therefore, you always get what you want. So there's no fear in it. That's what we call face in the fear. Face your fear. What is your fear? When you face it, you find out it's an illusion. So, when I sort of looked at the situation, I was just looking at it going, oh, this is kind of interesting. A financial issue is a factor here. And these are romance cards, right? When it says finances and career, when it says financial issues are a factor in your love life right now, what that means is it's a factor in what you love, what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. And when you sit there and focus on the situation and realizing that some people would be considered that when they really do what they want to do and they're loving what they're doing, they could be considered a romance. Now, I even saw a poem the other day where it talks about that. To start the most wonderful romance in your life is to love yourself and honor what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find someone else who will appreciate you just as much as well. What do you think, Dee? What's up, Dee?
Well, I'm agreeing. I'm just listening to you, and you're absolutely right on the money.
So would you have any...
That's my take on it all.
Right. And Amanda, so do you have any questions you'd like to ask from what we said and things like that?
No, it makes a lot of sense. I guess I just have to get over that fear. My biggest thing right now is to decide if I'm going to, you know, work on, you know, my passion and do school or leave school and work solely on that. So, you know, that's the decision at hand.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. No problem. You know, it's one of the situations that I think you should do it and see what happens. A good example of that is watch Arnold Schwarzenegger. Seriously. The man, if you when you watched him when he was bodybuilding, he just had an attitude about things, you know. He just threw himself into it, just did it. And then he went from there, went into an acting career. People are aware of one thing that he did when he was actually bodybuilding. He actually took the money and stuff, invested in going to school, and went to college, and actually became, I think it was in business management and real estate, and actually became a millionaire with real estate and that kind of stuff, made a lot of money, okay? And then went from that point of becoming an actor. And if you would have seen the very first role he did, it was funny because I remember the interview, too. They was talking to him, and he said the first job he did was called Hercules in New York. And they actually shortened his name. They shortened his last name. They overdubbed his voice, and he just kept on. He was motivated just to keep going, because he knew something was going to happen. He even told somebody. There was some kind of I think it was actually a manager. He was looking for a manager, and this one guy told him, he says, you need to shorten your last name, and you need to really work on changing your voice and that kind of stuff. Because he says your accent and your name and that kind of stuff is not going. He said more than likely, seriously, it's not going to get you anywhere in this business because you know bodybuilding, you're too big. You're too big. You know your name's too long. You can't speak English that well. And he was like, he said you can say what you're going to say, but he said one day everybody's going to know me by my first name. I don't have to worry about my last name. And he did that 10 years before he was 10 years before his acting career even took off. And sure enough, when you talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, they don't say Arnold Schwarzenegger; they say Arnold. So he knew for a fact that he was going to do the whole thing. Then he went into promoting. After he finished his bodybuilding career, now he has this thing called the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic.
He actually came to Ohio
to Columbus, Ohio, because this is actually where the first Olympia and everything else started for when he was a bodybuilding career. And he said he liked Columbus so much, he felt like it was a good town for this kind of thing. That's why he always comes here and has it here. And
my grandparents are actually from Ohio. I'm going to I'm going to be there like in 2 weeks in Columbus.
How are you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, about a week, week and a half, I'm going to be sitting in Colorado. So I'm like, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just sitting, I'm just saying with the situation of a guy, this guy put his mind to, everything he put his mind to, he accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
He put his mind to being a politician and becoming a governor. He did it, and people thought it was like, they never thought it would ever happen because Arnold came out of nowhere with really no experience in some situations, but he's good talking to people. He's got that experience and still with no thing. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff in Arnold's background too, of going to college and business management and that kind of stuff. Those things help you more than having experience of being a politician. If that is such a thing. But I'm not really a big fan of politicians, but I'm just saying Arnold seems like a man who just seemed like he accomplished everything and anything. He came from a foreign country, and now he even tried to – he was actually – had a proposal to change the Constitution so he could actually become president.
I heard about
it. Huh? Oy, oy, oy.
It's one of those situations that, you know, that our American politics, I think that he could really swing it because people are looking for somebody a little more likable. I'm serious. Think about it right now. I was there talking to people here in Ohio, and they're looking at all the candidates right now, and
they're
having
they're
a hard time.
Horrible.
Yeah, because they're having a hard time if they even want to vote at all. Who do I vote for? I don't like any of them. I said, well, why don't you take a vote within yourself? It's like, take a vote in yourself and say, I don't want to vote. Then don't. You know, do you want to be that one ballot that's cast that put somebody in the office that you didn't want in the first place? And then you go, maybe it was me. No, you don't. So don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's pretty rough right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
That's the point.
See, I've heard that some psychics have predicted that Romney there, there's going to be some scandalous stuff come out about him.
Yeah, he's the only one.
I don't know.
He knows that he's the only person that really nothing's come out on. But if you sit here and do the research on everything else, you'll find out he's the one instigating the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one guy was talking about that.
I think he's had some remarks that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got money, and he's pretty much down on people who don't.
Yeah, he does.
And the thing about the whole thing was
I'm on disability.
Well, that one black candidate, what was his name? And all of a sudden, all these women started coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, Herman.
Now, if that was really true, and all those women were doing that kind of stuff, and they were getting lawyers and all kinds of stuff, how come you haven't heard nothing about it since?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they were paid just to make a big stink for a while and get him knocked out. Because, you know, you're sitting going, okay,
dirty
so
politics.
I'm just saying, so what if he had affairs? If anybody can manage to have have a wife and three mistresses, I think he can run a country. You know?
Yeah, he was certainly doing some fancy juggling.
I'm just saying, does it mean he can't really run the country just because he had have these affairs, if he even had the affairs? You know? Because I certainly look at situations just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just saying, you know, man, just, after, I mean, all the candidates we have now, I think, you know, we should have said, hey, man, you need to come back. But, you know, we need somebody we can actually, I mean, I'm just saying, the guy seemed like he had a lot going. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. You know, some of these politicians that we got right now, it's more of a listen to everybody and then jump on the bandwagon. I think that one guy got in trouble because he compromised. He said, yes, I did vote for a bill that had, I think that was the one, abortion was tapped to the end of it. And he said, yes, he did go for that. But he goes, sometimes you have to go along with a team. And everybody's going, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh,
you'd be a holdout.
God.
Sit there and go, no, I don't want to do that. And they'll do it. Because there's actually, I saw today on Yahoo, where there's that one guy. He played on... Oh, shoot. there was a series back in the 70s that was on. His last name was Cameron, I think. He used to do those movies they got out there called Left Behind.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he went on television.
You're talking about Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, he went on and basically said that you never compromise. You never compromise your principles. You never compromise what you believe. And that's the same thing, too, as we realize with relationships. A lot of people do the same thing. They compromise their beliefs. They compromise who they are and that kind of stuff in order to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing it's probably not going to last because you're compromising who you are. So there's not a true foundation. Because it's all based on, actually it's based on lies. So, you know, you got to look at that kind of thing. It's very important to do the right thing and stick to it, no matter what. I've actually done readings with people, and they have a tendency to do the same thing, where they believe in something so strongly that they say, okay, thank you for the information. And I've even had one woman ask me, I've had a couple women ask me, if I focus on this thing in a positive way, with positive affirmations and positive thoughts, can I turn it around? And I always say, yes, you can. And they always seem to do that. You know, I've seen a couple of relationships I never thought were going to go anywhere. Now this guy's moving to another country. He doesn't want nothing to do with her. And then all of a sudden I hear a month later they're back together. And she's the one that asked me about the information. Can I take affirmations and change this? And I said, most certainly. And she took it to the bank and did exactly that. So we can always change situations by changing our thinking, changing our thoughts, and then we always get a different outcome. So we should consider those things too as well. What can we do? Well, it seems like lately, if you see a lot of things that are falling into place, there's not much we can't do. So it kind of gets, I think people have a tendency to compromise and say, okay, you know, you can't control this. You know, you never know. Well, I'm sitting there going, I heard a psychic say that one day. You never know. I said, excuse me? Yeah, we do. Don't you tell everybody else you know? Or maybe you tell them, I don't know, but this is what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a contradicting statement. Either say or don't. Don't sit there and say, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but this is what I'm feeling. I said, why don't you trust that feeling and go with it? Because it might actually get better and better to where your accuracy goes up and up and up again because you have more faith in yourself and what you're actually picking up on from the divine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's try that. So I feel like as soon as you correct your situation, you're going to correct a lot of things in your life. It's going to change.
Yeah.
Even your own confidence and your perceptions of what you need to do, and even the ideal, your parents looking at you and seeing your strengths instead of your weaknesses. Because you sit and think about this. When you were talking about before, you never know. You're talking about going out, you know, acting as a gamble and that kind of stuff. And that's the picture you're presenting to yourself in your mind. You're sitting there going out there going, I'm going to walk in here as a crapshoot if I get this role or not. Not realizing if you walk into the same scenario and say, I've done this before too. When I walk into Walmart, I got this list of stuff. I'm going to walk in here and get it, pay for it, and walk out. No questions. And then I go in there and I have my credit card and it does something that my credit card company told me I couldn't do. I couldn't go over because it was supposed to be a debit card. And with debit cards, you can only spend what you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there. I've done this time and time and time again. One time I did this with 59 cents on my card. I walk into this place, got all these groceries for about like $8, $9 of the groceries. Walk up there, swipe the card, fruit, out the door I go. And, you know, it's one of those things, what do you do when you're in the store? That's the thing I do. I go in there with confidence and say, okay, I'm going to walk in here, get this, and walk back out. So be it, so it is. Boom, done. I've done the same thing with, I told this one, I think Dee heard this one before too. I was in Florida. I walk into the motor vehicles and I said, I'm going to get my driver's license. I'm going to walk out of here with my driver's license. I walk in there, I got my driver's license. And it's amazing how many people asked me too when I came out of there, how'd you get your license? How'd you do that? I said, how'd I do it? Because I wanted my driver's license. And then I checked out later on when I came back to Ohio. I found my license has been revoked for 6 years.
Mm.
So you ask yourself, how'd that happen? Do we really need to know? We just know it did. And we want to repeat that as many times as we can. So when you start seeing things like that, you say, okay, what can I do? And then you start realizing with each manifestation that you do that spontaneously, there's more to follow. So, you know, in the process of miracles, what are miracles? Things that defy reality. Aren't, it seems like manifestations are getting that way too, right? Things that defy reality. So what do you want to do? Declare it. Do it. Watch it happen. Oops. Let's see here. So, Dee, we have any more callers?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We have
three. Well, Amanda,
yes.
we really appreciate you calling in, and I'd love to sit down and do a reading with you sometime.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I would have to get some money, but check that out.
And like I was telling everybody else too, we're having special prices for people who call the show, where it's only $33.33 for a 60-minute reading.
Okay.
$22.22 for a 40-minute reading, and $11.11 for a 20-minute reading. I also have a one-card reading, which they're pretty wild too, where they're like, that can actually take one card in about 15 minutes and do a reading with that, and that's only $9.99. And I tell everybody, the reason we're saying we're having a special because if you go to my website, you'll see that for a 60-minute session, it's $125. So, but we appreciate the support and people calling the show and that kind of stuff that we wanted to give them a special price. So.
Okay, so do I just like check on your website for that?
Yeah, all you gotta do is go to the website, and I tell people when I give people special rates and that kind of stuff. You can't push on those keys because it won't do nothing until you hit $125. But all you got to do is go to the website, make a donation, and then call me at my phone number, 740-601-9835. The website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And with the situation, and I always tell people, so you pay $33.33 for a 60-minute session. They never last 60 minutes. They usually last a little bit longer than that. But I tell everybody else, it's like, you know, do what you feel is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
If we go 10 minutes over, you know, that's good. But if we go 20 minutes over, you know, consider the situation, you know, because there's a lot of energy that's put out in the process of doing readings and that kind of thing. I was telling a friend, because we were saying we do free readings on our show, but they're not given freely. And she goes, "What do you mean by that? That means we pay for the show." You know? So they're free to you, but they're not given. I'm not giving them because it's like, how do you explain that? Say, okay, we pay for the show. We buy that. We pay for this spot and everything else that goes along with it, all the advertising. We pay for the things we do, the information and the energy we put into putting the shows together and that kind of stuff. And actually, with the way Blog Talk Radio has been working with my computer and stuff, getting on the Blog Talk's website is about 20 minutes. I have no idea what I think it's because of the E machine, to tell you the truth. But neither there nor there. Right now, we're really trying to put some money into upgrading this equipment as we go to Colorado and making the differences on that too. But yeah, all you got to do is go to the website. When you decide to go through with the whole thing, and just push the donation button and it's done. And I always tell people I like to get them done in 24 hours.
Okay.
So I also tell
how
people.
How much
when
was
you
said was the 22-minute one?
Oh, now you got me messed up. It's actually a 20-minute session.
Oh, sorry.
But if you're thinking about there's a 40-minute session at $22.22, if that's what you meant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like for people to call us and say, okay, I want to do a session have it set in their mind where they want to do it so we can get it down to 24 hours because we want that session to be able to make a difference in your life as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
All righty?
Cool. Well, I'm checking. I'm making a schedule right now.
All righty. I'll be looking forward to sitting down and working with you, okay?
Okay.
All righty. You have a great night. Thank you for calling, and actually have a fantastic week, okay?
Thanks. You too.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Good luck.
So, who's the next contestant on the Price
Needle
is Right?
Needle and Thread. I think we should go to 404. We should go to the Montana phone number because they called in and they've been waiting forever and then they got disconnected and they're back again.
All right. Shoot it across. Go up. Where? Wait.
Hello, 406.
Hi, Donnie.
Hey, it's...
Hello.
Hello, 406.
Stuff. Hey, how are you? Say hi to Dee.
Hi, Dee. I just called to say hi and... I liked your advice regarding the parents.
Well, thank you. I've been kind of frustrated with some of the people and the way things have been going with the people who just want to give advice, but they also want to kind of direct people in the direction they think they should go into when they're not really listening to what the person, their wants, needs, and desires are, you know? And I think that needs to be taken into the equation. Because I've seen so many parents who want to relive their own lives because of things they didn't do to their kids. So
oh, yeah.
I want you to go and I want you to go to law school because I didn't get a chance to go, you know. And then basically experience that through those things because it's just amazing some of the things what people come across. And I'm so proud of you that you're doing exactly what I told you to do, you know. And it just doesn't, and just that energy doesn't even sound right.
That vicarious living.
And then you get frustrated later on down the road. You're mad at yourself because you didn't follow through what you knew you needed to do. And it does make a difference.
Yeah, well, not always easy though.
No, it's not.
Well, we look at the situation and say, no, it's not. But like I always say, it's not easy, but it's not impossible. It's just the idea of finding
the solution. No, it's not impossible. But
what's the motivation? Well, if you have to, just take a match down your ass. But, you know, do something to motivate yourself to follow through. But whatever works for you.
I hope you didn't light it for us.
Motivation.
Oh my God.
Okay then.
Let's pull a card for Charlotte. Let's give a card for Charlotte and say, hey, one card for Charlotte. What do you say?
Sure.
Good idea.
She sounds so happy, doesn't she? It's like
I'm just at a point in my life that I'm really unsure of a lot of things, so I'm afraid of what you're gonna tell me.
I was sitting and looking at the situation in your life right now and say, you know something? Maybe you don't feel like you're where you're at and maybe things are not going as good, but it seems like you're experiencing things that you've never experienced before.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like looking at the situation going, you know, probably about 5 years ago, the idea of even making this trip, you would never done it.
No, never.
So, you know,
I was married.
I'm just saying, you look at the situation and go, you know, you've come a long way to where you've made such major changes in your life. You know, something keeps coming up all the time. Finances and career. Finances, it says financial issues are a factor in your love life right now, so.
Okay.
I actually shuffled the cards, and the card came out, and I said, no, it's a shuffle again. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I know there's no coincidence, but I said, so I shuffled the cards again, and the card came back out again. So I was like, okay, I guess we got to go with this one. I did this the other day, too. I was shuffling my cards, and it's like every time I shuffled those cards and laid some cards down, the miracle card always came out. So when you look at the situation of all the things that are happening in your life, it's the idea of the miracle where you're at, but also look at the situation and say, okay, you created this, so therefore you can create a fantastic outcome to the situation too as well. The angels are saying, so when are you going to start?
I'm trying. I'm on a journey that I've never taken before, and kind of like a toddler taking their first steps away from mommy and daddy and learning a lot along the way. And I have myself a new boyfriend that I don't know how to describe
it's a new boyfriend. So when they say new boyfriend, does it mean he shines like a brand new car? But
good grief.
I'm just curious. There you go, huh?
Well, you got a neon red now and a convertible?
No. But you know the situation, and he's different than what I'm used to. He's not my Montana cowboy. He's more of a, I don't know, he's a lot like you.
Okay.
Oh, dear. You're in trouble.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure about that one, but okay.
Now. Oh, you know, you've talked to me lots. We go way back, and a lot of the same things you have told me in the past keep coming back up. And I'm like, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a challenge. Let's put that way. Maybe I'm the challenge. I don't know. Yeah. One or the other.
Like, right.
I think it might be the both of you together.
The both
You're
of us.
You're an interesting combination.
I don't know.
You're an interesting combination.
Yeah,
he treats me in a way that I'm not accustomed to, and I guess to put it politely, since we're on the radio, he doesn't put up with my crap.
He doesn't let you get away with shit. Okay, there we go. She was looking for Mr. Wright.
In other words, she's good for you.
Yeah, he's teaching me a lot of life lessons and making me face situations that I probably never would have otherwise. And like your advice earlier about standing up to the parents and stuff, he's went that around with me. And I don't know how to describe it because we're on the radio, but he doesn't put up with a lot of stuff that other people have.
Oh, really? I remember a couple of situations I had to put up with, too, with you, and I was like, whoa. Anyway.
They won't
go into detail.
He doesn't play those games.
Yeah, I'm sitting here telling you. I was sitting here looking at the situation.
He takes all prisoners.
Charlotte. No, with Charlotte, I actually saved the woman's life. So, you know, it's one of those things of, we're talking some really dramatic situations and stuff where you're like, whoa. But definitely seen some major changes since then, too. So, Charlotte. I actually started dating this girl named April. Which I thought was kind of weird.
You did.
Right. But it was one of those things where April, and that was the month I was born in, April. And this is another kicker, too, okay? The girl is 26, which is also... I was born April 26th.
Oh, my goodness. That's more than a coincidence.
Yeah. It freaks you out because I just never realized that.
I didn't believe a coincidence.
Yeah. I'm just saying, keep going. Listen to the people. You know, you got someone who's being very firm with you for a reason, because he sees the potential. He sees who you are. And it's like he wants you to be that person. So he must have a lot of faith in you, and he's trying to have that faith within yourself. So, You can't knock that.
Bingo.
Huh?
I can't run. That's his biggest message to me. He keeps telling me, you can't run. Every time I try to, I'm going back to Montana. He's like, for instance, he'll go, quit acting like a goddamn two-year-old. You're throwing a temper tantrum. You aren't going to leave until we talk. And I'm like, no, I'm leaving. I'm calling my mommy and daddy right now. And he's like, that's fine. And if you're going to sit down and you're going to talk to me. We've had some rows. I mean, he wouldn't let me out the door. And my mom was on the phone and called the cops, actually. The cops showed up at the house. And are you being kept here against your will? I wanted to look at him and go, yes, I've been kidnapped by a stubborn-headed man. But I was like, no, we're fine, we're fine. And he just doesn't put up with a lot of the stuff that others would. And, you know, I'm not hungry. Yes, you are. I can hear your stomach rumbling from here. Don't lie to me. What the hell? Don't talk to me like that.
Hey, it's one of those things, right?
Yep, you need him. You need him.
Oh, yeah, Donnie knows more than ever that I needed a little tough love. And it was crazy moving from Montana to New York, and I miss Montana. And Donnie and I were talking earlier, as a matter of fact. I want to go back to Montana, and he's like, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I tend to try to listen to him sometimes.
Yeah, she's still pretty much in debt there for a while because of the smoking thing. I told her every time she smoked a cigarette, it was going to cost her $50.
Well, yeah, but you can't do that to me anymore because Eric smokes, or we'll see, he doesn't go by that. Gambit smokes. And it's
Gambit.
Hard to not
Does
smoke.
Is he also, what, the X-Men?
He goes by the X-Men. He's a card man. He's an illusionist. He does all kinds of illusions and card tricks, and so that's his name, and he doesn't like to go by his real name. Yeah, it's his thing, but...
It's fetish.
I think it's...
Grace.
Yeah. It's something like that.
My third session, he'll be on the TLC channel.
The TLC channel? I hope not.
Right.
He just
well, they've got programs on there on obsessions and addictions that are pretty freaking weird. As long as he doesn't start having an affair with the car, he's all right.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's just. I don't know how to describe him. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie's right. I've been on this journey. I left Montana and dealing with what he talked about earlier in the show about telling your parents this is my life and is this disrespect or is this me living my life and back and forth and pretty much been disowned almost and can't see my children because my ex-husband is not in agreement and he's right. I've changed a lot. I've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've, for lack of a better word, Donnie, I've learned to put my big girl panties on.
All right.
You know what I mean? I was a little insecure and reliant on parents.
New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean, though, by that. Like, I was reliant heavily on family and friends to take care of me, and he just doesn't play that game. You're a big girl. You can do this yourself, and... You have your own mind. I'm not going to tell you what to do and how to do it. And he treats me differently. I wish he would have warned me ahead of time of, like, simple thing as lunch turns into a major thing. You know, what would you like to have for lunch? I don't know. Yes, you do. You have a brain. You have an opinion. What would you like for lunch? I'm like, it's a journey. Donnie's loving this. He knew me a few months ago, and I was kind of a mess. And Gambit just doesn't play those games or put up with that.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And you know, little Brie, you know, she says that he's the first he's the first man that I'm not going to be able to manipulate nor push away. She says, you're not going to be able to do your come closer, get away with this one, because he isn't going to let go of you. He's going to stick with you through the hard times, and he's got a couple of years of psychology, so manipulation is just out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
You should have warned me.
Well, I didn't have a chance to give you a reading for you before you left.
Yeah, it was.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
I suppose so.
You're right where you're supposed to be.
You think so? It doesn't feel like it.
You'd run away if you'd warned. Yes.
Yeah, as long as solutions keep coming up.
We're at a given moment where we're supposed to be, even if we don't like where we are.
Yeah, I'm living and learning and growing and trying to figure out who I am for the first time in my life. Kind of scary.
The first time ever I saw.
Something along.
Roberta Flack, you ain't.
What?
First time.
I think he was singing the first time ever I saw your face, and I said, Roberta Flack.
Yeah, first time I ever saw your face. I could do the monkeys. I saw your face.
No.
No.
Yeah, now I'm a believer. Oh, God.
I'm a believer.
Really?
I'm out of here.
Oh.
Yeah. So much time we got left. D?
Hold on a second, and I'll scroll it up here. Because we haven't got
like
much. We are down to 3 minutes and 19 seconds.
See,
two
I'm psychic and didn't know it.
Like Bob Dylan, I'm a poet and I know it. Hope I don't blow it.
Yeah. I just wanted to hi, Donnie. I hadn't talked to you in forever and a day, and you kind of been guiding me all along for months now, so I thought I'd better call the show and check in and let everybody know that I'm okay. It's not very comfortable where I'm at right now, but I'm okay.
Right.
It'll get better.
Yeah, don't forget to send me that money order.
Okay.
Anyway. No, yeah. I'm just saying with the situation, like you said, I heard when you were talking earlier, when you said start talking about going back to Montana, I mean, it just came across me a very quick message saying, nope, don't do it. Because there's things are going to happen, okay? Very positive things are going to happen. So you need to write it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, I will trust you.
All righty.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you for calling, and definitely check in with us. But next time, make it a little more sooner than a year. Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll give a call. And if you just tuned in right now, it's Psychic X30 Man, and this is Dee, and this is Psychic X30 Man, the Spiritual Link Show, and here on Block Talk Radio. It's 12:58 here in Circleville, Ohio, on the East Coast. And I just want to thank everybody for being here and that kind of thing. And if you want to give us a call for a personal reading, please do so at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. For the people who call the show, we have a special rate for you, which is only $33 for a 60-minute session, $22.22 for a 40-minute session, and $11.11 for a 20-minute session, or for a one-card reading, which is 15 minutes, it's $9.99, and then for our 90-minute to two-hour session where you get readings and life coaching and relationship counseling, they're only $77.77. So give us a call at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website. I'll get back with you as soon as possible at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. I'd also like to give a thanks out to Richard Belanga, which is actually our sponsor. He has a website called DivineBodyWash.com, and for each donation that you give to the show of $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. If you give a donation of $35 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist. So check us out there, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and give love where love is given. And D, give out your information too. We'll then contact you for readings too as well.
Okay. If you want a reading, email reading, contact me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. You can contact me there for an email reading or for reading over MSN or Yahoo. If you'd like a reading by phone, my phone number is 207-374-5072. I accept PayPal, and I'm doing this for suggested donation. So email reading would be suggested donation $20, but I'm willing to work with your budget, so on that. And for even if you're going to do it over MSN or Yahoo, I'll work with your budget. A phone reading for an hour's worth of my time would be $60 as I say, suggested donation. I'm more than willing to work with anybody's budget. And if you're interested, I make jewelry with semi-precious stones such as moss agate, turquoise, Picasso jets, all kinds of those. And I use some sterling silver and Hill Tribes handmade silver from Thailand, and you can contact me at the same email address for now, and I can send you pictures of what I made, of things that I've made, and give you an idea of what I do, and we can work out if you're interested in something special, because I'll do a custom design for somebody. And I do have a few pieces that I do have ready for sale, and we can discuss prices and whatnot.
All right, Dee, is anybody else on the line?
We have three. Somebody called in just a few minutes ago. We have three people left on the line.
Okay, let's bring them on. So
okay,
who's first? 601.
601.
You're welcome. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And what's
Hello,
your name?
Hello, 601.
Hello?
Yeah, 601. How are you?
Hello?
Hello? I'm 801.
Hello? You're 801.
801?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yes, she's 801. I read it wrong. Pardon me.
We were talking about gambling earlier, and I got some free hotel tickets to a casino and free, you know, some free slot play, and I'm wondering what does the card say about me? Will I be lucky, or is there anything I should know, or should I avoid it?
801, isn't it like Nevada?
Utah.
I was going to say Utah. Why did I say Utah? Oh, never mind. Anyway, I was looking up your area code, too, and it's in the book here, my angel book. It says your prayers and positive thoughts about your finances are keeping you in the flow of abundance. It says keep the faith that God is providing for all of your needs, including helping you with your bills. Follow any divine intuition that you receive. To me, that sounds like it says your prayers for help with your finances have been heard and answered. So I think it's like a confirmation, I think, that you should go ahead and follow through with what you need to do there.
Oh, okay. It's just so confusing because, you know, you walk in a casino and you don't, you know, I'm always afraid of losing money, and I don't know what to... You know.
Well, that's one of those situations. It's been a proven fact that when you focus on losing money, you lose money. When you focus on attracting money, you attract money. It's just the idea. You got to keep your focus and that kind of thing of believing it within your heart. Because you say you walk in and say, I believe I'm going to get some money today. But in your heart, you're going, I think I'm going to just lose. You're going to contradict the whole thing and not do anything.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, I mean, you saw the numbers. This is your area code. This is what's connected to you. And it's almost like I said, you need to follow through with what you know you need to go through because it's going to work out in your best interest.
Oh, okay.
You're going to walk away from the situation a whole lot better than what you did when you walked into it.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is a proven fact. If you don't do anything, you'll never know.
Mm-hmm. I don't can't believe
like here in Ohio... It says you can't win the lottery. It says you can't win if you don't play. So, that's a proven fact.
I just know
fact.
It's not a very good investment, but, you know.
Well, it depends. Like we said before earlier on the show, it's like this perception. You know, people sitting there go gambling. I get a feeling about the whole thing. Certain things fall in my lap, opportunities to go. I think those happen for a reason. We just need to follow through with them. But we also need to follow through completely with the whole idea of having faith in what just happened so we can have a positive outcome. Because there are some people who bring up the idea, it says in the Bible gambling is bad because you're actually going out there. But if you sit here and look at the situation, changing the format of everything to the point where it's not gambling, beyond a shadow of a doubt what exactly what's going to happen, then it changes everything. You walk in, I'm going to do this, this, and this, thank you. And you walk back out going, hey, that was pretty cool, let's do it again.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, we were talking about it earlier when we were talking about walking into a hotel room, and the first thing I said was, well, it costs $35 a night to get a hotel room. The world says if you don't have money, you don't get it. And then I decided to follow my intuition, and my angel said, do this. I mean, I remember this so clearly that I sat there and said, okay, what should I do? And these voices came along, and the angels were like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to live at? So I said, I want to live in Manitou Springs. And they said, okay, start walking that way. So I started walking that way, and then all of a sudden they come across and said, you need to go to this hotel. I never knew why, but at that time I didn't know why, but I knew for a fact that when I listened to that guidance, things always got better.
And
I guess people would say miracles happen, and that's what happened with the situation there. It happened, and I sat there and put it out there, and it was amazing. We were talking about this last week too, where it wasn't just one thing that happened. It was like, because I told myself, it's like there's like 20 hotels up and down that strip. I was actually working for a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
How come my boss would only let me stay there for 2 days? How come she couldn't let me stay until I got paid, which was another 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
But we just went along with the whole flow of what was going to happen. Put myself in a situation that this lady at this hotel actually ended up being the person who actually recommended me for this shop that I wanted to the lady who actually rented it out. And it started a chain reaction of all these good things that happened. So it's amazing when you listen to just one good thing, it's a lot more than just one good thing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to follow through.
Okay, good. All right, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Would you do you have any more questions like to ask before you go?
Well, I tend to have a cigarette addiction, and I'm trying to quit that. It maybe I don't know. I just
really
it's hard to quit that. I'm this, I don't know. That's what mainly I'm working on.
Well, it's one of those situations, Jerry. You got to look at the situation and what it is, and come to a point where you actually walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be on a term with the whole thing, because a lot of times people try to quit smoking when they're really not ready to quit yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's, you know, it's health, the society keeps saying you need to do this. But realistically, to have success at it, you really got to be good within yourself to actually accomplish that. And I know this for a fact because I used to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't smoked since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I tell people, I actually like smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one of those days that I moved to Colorado, and there was certain things going on, and I just felt like that it was more important to keep working out than to keep smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a motivation to do just that, and that's what I did. So sometimes that's what we need to do. We also need to allow ourselves to go through the process. Like with me, I used to eat Pop-Tarts, and I used to flake them in the freaking ashtray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's certain habits and stuff like that. You just have to find alternatives, and you can walk away from it. I don't like those one people where they go, I say, you know, from smoking cigarettes, cigars, to chewing, just, you know, I was like, no, just quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Stick to that for
Yeah.
So then one guy was like, oh, I'm doing the cigar thing, and then we'll go to this. And then you really notice those people never really quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just trade one addiction for another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like it's one of those things where you got to sit there and look at it in a way of changing your vocabulary, your life, so therefore it goes along with it. what I mean by that is it's like you have this thing where you had something in your hand all the time. You just find something else to put in your hand. Mine was Pop-Tarts, you know, and then just a lot of things I did differently, right? I knew there was a habit that went along with it, and also I changed my vocabulary. I changed things like I stopped saying I can't. I stopped using the word addiction.
Oh, I see.
And it was one of those things that just certain things that said, nope, we're not going to sit here and feed it the whole thing. Because I just feel like addiction and putting disease or something like that, having those titles, just having things that work against you.
Oh, I see.
It's the ideal. Say, I want to sit there and trade off something. Like I said before, with me, it was I had the trade off of I got to Colorado. I remember that I was only there. I hadn't worked out in like a week or so, and I went to work out at the gym, and I felt like I hadn't worked out in a month. And I was like, whoa. I've been working out my whole freaking life. I just wasn't ready. I said, make a choice. Which one am I going to give up? Am I going to give up working out or smoking?
Yeah.
Smoking, lost.
Uh-huh.
News at 11. I didn't do those patches, didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided one day to quit. And I took my pack of cigarettes and threw them away. Well, I did do that too. I was one of those people sitting, well, as soon as this pack of cigarettes gone, I'm quitting. I realized that was just enabling me to keep smoking. Mm-hmm. So I stopped doing that too. I just said, you know something? To quit smoking is just do it. And I said, you know, forget the whole thing about money and this, that, and the other. People do that too. They'll sit there and say, I just bought these cigarettes, man. I don't want to waste that money.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Let's waste some lungs.
Uh-huh.
So I just started looking at things like that and started saying, well, I need to change. It's gambling, but it's one of those things that you already know, so it's not. You know what you need to do. You know what you want to do. You know, when you sit and look at cigarettes, the idea of affecting how you breathe, it seems to have some kind of chemical reaction all over your whole body when you smoke, where you can feel a certain weakness within yourself.
Yes.
And that drives you crazy.
Yes, because I know it's not.
You just tell yourself what's more important.
But yeah, it's just kind of a way I deal with stress.
Yeah, because when you look at the situation of stress, I started noticing one thing, that when people smoke cigarettes, they get more stressed.
Yes. It's like vicious cycle.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So when you start to look at a situation like that, it's like, okay, it's a vicious cycle. The first thing that pops your head going, okay, I know what I need to do. I need to stop and break that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I'm going to do that is just done. And you'd be amazed when you call, because I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you quit cold turkey. You stop saying, okay, I can't do this. I'm just addicted to cigarettes. And you start looking at the cigarette going, okay, I cannot believe that this little sucker here, piece of paper, tobacco, and a filter, have more control of my life than I do.
Mm-hmm.
That ticked me off.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, you know, I can't accept that. And I quit.
Uh-huh.
I just walked away. I just stopped everything. And one thing I don't like about the medical community is the way they talk about certain things. You know, you shouldn't do that. That could be really hard to your system. Oh, shut up. I'm sick of hearing people make it such, because realistically, we're treating ourselves like babies.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop treating ourselves like babies.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start treating ourselves. We need to sit there and honor ourselves and respect ourselves and say, you know, we're just disrespecting ourselves by allowing us to continue to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like feeding. And don't take this like a defensive don't take this as in a bad way. I just feel like we are just being mean to ourselves.
Yeah.
By allowing this addiction to control us, because that's what we're doing. We're allowing that to happen.
Yeah, because I had quit for over 3 years and then had a bad experience, and I just started gradually smoking one here and there, and then it turned into a daily habit. So, and now I'm healing from this situation, I'm feeling like I'm hopefully able to quit, you know.
No, you will. That's what I'm saying. That's when you have to watch yourself, too, when you're saying things. Hopefully I can quit.
Oh.
You know, sometimes we got to look at these situations, we set ourselves up for failure. So what we need to do is set ourselves up for success by saying, I can do this.
Okay.
It's like a piece of cake. I've done it before. I put my shoes on. I can tie my shoes. And it happens every time. So you look at it like that, just that way. You don't wake up one day and say, I just can't put my shoes on. You always find a solution. You know, you always find a solution for everything. Like pregnant women, I can't get my shoes on, but they always find an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So they always find a solution. So it's the idea of taking those little simple things that we find solutions for. Now this is just, and look at this. This thing is the same way. It's a simple way and a simple solution.
Mhm.
Man.
Yeah. So it's not good to use the addict word, huh?
No, it's not. You know why?
No.
Why? Because it labels me. Well, I figure.
Yeah, labels put boundaries.
Pardon?
Yeah, they put boundaries on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So I know because I was sitting doing the same thing. I saw people with relationships and just all kinds of stuff, and they say the word can't. Your brain hears that and go okay, or I'm going to try. And try is the same thing. The brain hears the try, and it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to try and make this work, but if it doesn't work, I'll just, you know, I'll find another relationship. See, you're already going into the situation in a download. If this doesn't work out, I'll just find another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I can quit.
So you can do it.
I'm quitting.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your reading.
Okay. One thing, too, you could also, if you could sit down with me sometime and do a past life reading, I can actually take you back to a point where it wasn't just this lifetime. It seems like there's a lot of stems to certain things of smoking, as in to find a solution to deal with certain things. And we can take it back to a certain point and have you realize where you actually acquired this at.
Oh.
Not just this lifetime. Because it seems like you started smoking at a young age.
I got more into it, smoking more and more, you know. And then I did quit for like over 3 years, and then I was feeling really good, and then I had to kind of a negative experience, and then I gradually was hanging around with people that were smoking, and I just gradually kind of got into that. And everyone knew that, she might start again, and sure enough, I did. I thought I wouldn't, but I can quit. I am quitting.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I have quit.
I have quit. I'm done with it.
Yeah, because I had this one thing in here. I had this affirmation. Let me see here. Let me pull it up real quick. Man, I swear I have too many journals. Let's see. I was sitting looking at this one in here. Okay. It's kind of like a mock-up on some things. The way it's set up, it's actually the way the affirmation was originally written as a way of relaxing yourself. But I thought it would be really good for your situation because basically you're smoking, as you say, to actually cut stress. So I felt like we could actually do the same meditation, just detail it for the smoking thing, and then you can change it because you're trying to relax by using an affirmation that's already basically constructed to relax you. It would work for you if we could find it. I keep forgetting this is not a keen call, so we're not, you know, no one's paying for it.
I will
donate. So, yeah, we've been doing 30-minute shows, and on 30-minute shows, we only have about 15 minutes after we're not on the air anymore to record some more. But after you get a two-hour show, then you're able to stay on for an additional hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of caught up in that whole thing going, okay, I got to hurry. No, I don't. Oh, that's right. We just changed it all. Okay. Isn't it nice? It just drives you crazy when you're trying to find something. Because I was sitting there going over this thing real quick. And sometimes I have a tendency to. I had it written down too. green giant. Okay. I had this.
Ho, ho, ho.
Okay, where's that? That's like I said before, I got so many freaking books. Now I see what. I'm slipping.
I guess I could do something like I release the need to smoke, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or.
Yeah. No, I got some really thick journals, so. I think it was right in this area, right here. It's one of those things, sometimes you just got to catch it just right, because it's the way it's written.
Mm-hmm.
Family has some Jeopardy music, huh?
Okay, then.
Okay. I like
and the question is, where is Donnie's journal?
No, I got the journal. I'm just trying to find it. It's a thick journal. Now I'm singing Disney music. My prince will come someday. Okay.
Yeah, I just sent them to Kodak.
Uh-huh.
That's an old one.
Right. We got all kinds of things popping up. Let's see. Yeah, you're right. It's just something changing things around to make them format exactly what you're trying to do. Let's see. Because I'm always focusing on relationships and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Making more things more feasible. Let's see, right here. I'm a mighty magnet. Money magnet, okay. In case you got to buy patches, you should get that one.
I am a mighty money magnet.
So I can afford my patches. I'm serious. You ever seen some of those patches, man?
Oh, I know. The gum is expensive, too.
Oh, it seems like when things kick in and people see they can make a buck off of it, it's amazing how they go from one extreme to another expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, that's kind of crazy. And sometimes the idea of smoking is the idea of working with the chakras, too, to balance and cleanse them, too, because... like with your sacral chakra, which is actually for appetites and desires, which
mm-hmm.
is also one that can actually be tapped into
the root chakra.
Addiction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, addictions. Where the hell is that book? I'm sorry, where the heck is that book? A friend of mine, she's like, I'd love to go over and look at your library, because every time I turn around, you're pulling a book out. So I must have a big one. It's kind of, yeah. There's a book out there called Healing with the Angels by Doreen Virtue. How the angels can assist you in every area of your life. What's that?
I think I have that one.
That's good, because if you do, there's actually, I'm trying to find right now.
I know I have one by Doreen Virtue, but I know it's an angel one, so I'm not sure if it's the
mm-hmm.
same one.
Here it is. Prayer for Healing Addictions.
Mm-hmm.
You live with God, Holy Spirit, and the angels. I know that addictive cravings are actually a craving for divine love. Please help me feel that I am filled with your ever-present love. I am willing to release any fears that would block me from the awareness of your love. I ask you to clear away from me the beliefs, patterns, feelings, and thoughts that trigger my cravings. Please guide me to people, situations, and experiences that support my desire to live free of addictions. I surrender all my cravings to you and ask for the extra angels to surround me with light, with the light of health and peace. Please help me now and always. Amen.
something.
There's several others. There's one here, too, on prayer for health and healing. Because, it's, you know, in some sense, the word is a healing, too, because of what you, because in the process of smoking, we're doing something to ourselves physically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a healing within ourselves, but it's also a spiritual connection, too, as well. To help us realize that sometimes somewhere along the line we fell into the trap that we think that, here it is, this trap that, it's a trap, you know, we're being pulled into by our fears allowing us to continue to do it. You know, if I stop smoking, I'm going to get a big ass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things of fear and that kind of thing. I'm just saying, it's using it as an example because I've heard that a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to gain weight. The last time I stopped smoking, I turned into a big old brick. People like me. Lady was like, she goes, how do you, she goes, people liked you, but you turned into a brick. Huh? People liked you? She goes, yeah, this guy comes saying I look like a brick shit house. Anyway, dun-dun-dun-sh. So, one brick at a time. Okay. This one here is, this is one you talk, this is one you talk yourself through, okay? This is, it says, I, Donnie, am always deeply relaxed and centered in myself. Donnie, you are always deeply relaxed and centered in yourself. Donnie is always deeply relaxed and centered in himself. So what you do in the situation of quit smoking, you don't focus on, I want to quit smoking. You focus on the alternative. Yeah, so you want to sit here and say, I, what's your name? I'm sorry.
France.
I lost track of her name.
France.
What?
Frances.
Frances. It says, I, Frances, am always deeply relaxed and centered in myself. You relax yourself, so therefore you don't have a tendency to put yourself into a craving for a cigarette. And then you sit there and say it. Just keep saying, I, Frances, am always deeply relaxed and centered in myself. Frances, you are always deeply relaxed and centered in yourself. And then you say, Frances is always deeply relaxed and centered in herself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what you do, and people say, well, how many times do I say it? Well, you say it until you feel it, until you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you have an anxiety attack, you just sit and go, I'm relaxed, I'm relaxed, I'm relaxed. Some people do a simple meditation. They just say, I am love, I am love, I am love, I am love. By connecting with themselves in a true, unconditionally loving way, they look at the cigarette and say, okay, I can't do this to myself. I have too much respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do.
Okay.
It's a whole lot different than different than getting hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
That costs a lot of money.
I don't know if I believe in it. I believe in it, but I don't know if I want to go through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Whatever's kicking you in the head, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, too. And
I'm just saying. You know,
I do worry.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, I wrote
so we'll try
down.
Those. And
okay.
If you want any more in-depth, anything like that, just consider booking a reading with me, and we can sit down and go over some more, and actually
right.
maybe go over the things with you personal 101, okay?
All right.
Like I've been telling everybody, we have a special rate for people who call the show, and for a 16-minute session, it's only $33.33.
Okay. That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, so just, you know, like, I tell people you should book those as soon as possible, because I like people to take advantage of the information that comes through as soon as possible so we can get some changes in your life. Because it seems like you are to the point where you want to quit. It's just the idea of, okay, which way do I go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, love to help you out with that situation, really do, because I've been there myself. And,
uh-huh.
you know, mine was listening to my angels and say, okay, I need to stop doing this. What can we do? And there was just certain goals that I had, too. I came up with some other, you know, different additional goals. And I think the idea of moving to Colorado was really good for me at the time, too, because of the altitude.
Oh,
which
yeah.
really added to the situation. Going, man, I can't breathe. And then on top of the whole thing, and then when I stopped smoking, and I saw, I saw a change very quickly because of the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend moving to Colorado, drastic things like that, but
uh-huh.
I'm just saying. sometimes with the idea of working with angels and the direction we're led into, as long as we actually do get spontaneous and follow through,
mm-hmm.
you always go somewhere. You always end up somewhere better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. We appreciate you calling. And would you have anything else to add, Dee?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
You've covered it all.
Oh.
And very well.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Francis.
You can do it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
You can do
Bye.
It. You can do it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yep, she can do it. She's a little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. I know I can.
Oh, that's a good I like that book, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There goes.
Okay. So who's our next caller, Dee?
Okay, we have... who do we have? 610. Hello, 610. Hello?
601. 610. Let's see here. 610.
Six, six,
you're ten, on the
six, air. 610.
Show. 610. Hello? What is up? How you doing?
I think they're napping.
Area code 610. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
They went out to get a cigarette.
What's up? Oh, really?
I'll put them on hold and go to the next one. Which I
Alrighty.
This one is BNNABODHI.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Good evening, how are you?
We're doing good, but where are you at?
We're fine.
Right here. How are you guys? Good evening.
We're fine. How are you?
I just wanted to sing a song.
You want to sing a song?
Okay. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I cared. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. That's it.
Okay.
Yep. Just okay. Sing.
And what's your name?
My name is Anna.
Anna? We've talked before, haven't we?
Yeah. Have you called before, Anna?
Yep, I did. Oh, a while ago.
You're the one... I believe I remember you. You're the one that was doing the volunteer work that wanted to be compensated.
Yes, and I left that place.
Now she's happy.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm really happy. All the
nonsense. Yeah, she's singing.
I don't deal with that nonsense, you know. No nonsense. It was a headache for me. It was more like
you stood up from the bull by the horns.
Yeah, I was like, no more of this. And when I said to one mother, you know, it's going to be like something, you're going to have to, you know, and then she just walked out. She didn't feel like it. She was really,
oh, really?
Rude. Yeah, she was really rude. Starting next week, right? No, I said four volunteer sessions are over. Starting from this week, today, it's a new 4 weeks. It's going to be, you know, so and so much for child people. And she's like, starting next week, right? No, I said, no, starting this week. No one told me about it. No one told me. I said, I'm just telling you right now. And she just said, okay, then I'm just going to... She just left really angry, upset, and left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then one of the people from the church was like, how did you tell her? And what did you say? And blah, blah, blah. Like, making me feel like I should be guilty. But I just was like praying to God. Like, I don't want to go in the guilt trip and feel guilty. And so... Anyway, so that's over.
Mm-hmm.
That's over.
Yeah, tell us about the positive stuff. Yeah.
Tell us about the positive stuff. No, I'm just drawing, painting.
Good.
So I have a question. I'm a little
That's
bit...
good. We answer those.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I have a question. I'm like stuck up with this ex-boyfriend, or not even a boyfriend, just somebody that I dated. I'm kind of stuck mm-hmm. up with him, and then once in a while he'll send me a weird text message, and then I'll respond, and he won't respond back. And then today I saw him on the street. He was walking his dog, and it was weird because I turned my head, and there he was, but I don't think he saw me, or he pretended he didn't see me, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, like, what is going on? Why is it so difficult to let this go? What is up with me in this whole situation?
Well, I get the impression he was pretending not to see you.
Yeah.
The impression I keep getting, the picture I keep getting all the time is these big scissors.
Ooh.
To cut this loose and just let it go. And I always tell people that in situations like this, you
exactly.
really don't want to know why. You don't want to get caught up in the whole situation and what's up with him and that kind of stuff, because it's like a trap that pulls you that direction when you should be making the direction to let go and going in the opposite direction and letting it just say, I can't do this anymore. Because it's really not good for you.
I agree.
I think it works against you and all these really positive decisions you've made lately. So, you know, it could actually pull you back the other direction where you might actually consider doing other things that you had never done before, which you shouldn't do. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah. It's the past that's dragging me down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The cards,
no,
the cards are saying
past.
That
you've got to be in the present and move to the future.
Sorry,
yeah, because the cards are saying you're balanced. You're really good in a good time right now. But they also showed the idea of Archangel Hanel is pointing out the idea of sensitivity, that you're extra sensitive to energies and emotions right now, which you need to continue to honor yourself and your feelings and let that go to maintain this balance that you've got going on, which is the third card. It's actually just clarifying that with body care, which, you know, take care of yourself. Okay. And then we have this other thing here where it's another confirmation. Confirming, which it talks about courage, Archangel Ariel, which it says be courageous and stand up for your beliefs. So you definitely, on the path that you've chosen, to go to even give this guy even a wink, is feeding into something that goes against your beliefs because of basically how he's treated you. So they want you to focus on just that, what you've been doing right now, the choices you've made. So you've let things go, and this is the pattern, but it's also the answer, and it's a sign that you need to continue to do the same.
Okay.
Anything that doesn't contribute to your happiness and your joy needs to be severed because it works against you.
What a trap, huh? I just saw a clear thing about what is going on with me. It's just, you know, when you start, I'm working on this one right now, but I started to feel this loneliness, and it's not loneliness in this dark, isolated way, and then the solution was, you know, to focus on him to get me out of that trap. And that's been the cycle, like, constantly, but that doesn't bring me anywhere either. It just puts me 10 steps.
No, it doesn't.
Even further down than the being alone and... you know, that I can heal on my own. But, that just gave me that kind of idea, what I was doing. I don't know if that's clear, but... So.
You can't be good for anyone until you can learn how to be by yourself.
No, I know how to
be comfortable. I've
been by myself for plenty of times, but sometimes it's difficult to be by myself. Not always, but... sometimes, and those are the times I'm trying to deal with instead of, you know, feeling ashamed about it, feeling a shame around
mm-hmm.
it, you know, all those things, like feel the shame around being alone and those things that are just being healed within me and are healed, you know, that's why I can talk about it without feeling the shame. So I'm just saying, like, this whole thing about undeserving of love and the shame around mm-hmm. It goes pretty deep, so I
mm-hmm.
feel like those are the issues that rise up, and it's absolutely not a problem for me to be alone. It's okay. I can deal with it, but
the shame part and the fear part, stuff like that. Oh, you're not loved, you're alone, da da da. Stuff like that, you know, that's
just, I'm alone and I get more loved, I'm telling you. But
don't feed into shame, because a lot of us are alone. I've been divorced for 26 years, and I don't. And there's no shame in being alone.
Yeah, you sit there and look at the situation.
It is what it is.
I was on a highway one night.
The verbal stuff doesn't usually solve the problem. By saying something like "don't feed into the shame" doesn't really solve the problem unless you take a look at it from a distance and you can see the shame and look what it looks like. And then you can say, oh, yeah, this is shame. I don't need to go in there anymore. It's just a part of me, and I can look at it now from a distance, and it's safe. Before, it's like, oh, my God, there's shame. It's scary. I don't want to go there, blah, blah, blah. And it keeps knocking on your door. But it has a gift. The shame has a gift. There's nothing terrifying about it.
Yeah, it's like when we made the mistake.
Don't answer the door.
No, answer the door. Answer the
door. It's like what is shame? It's like looking at shame, and every time I see shame, I see Obama, and realize, oh, we made a mistake, but we can correct it. Anyway,
if it wasn't
on that
Obama,
note,
I would have been Osama. It's always someone, you know. It's like always somebody.
Right.
There. So it's not gonna. Nothing is. The world is not where we, you know, where we are spiritually. You know, we're not talk. The world is not talking our language. So we just doing what we're doing until it becomes more aligned.
Oh, yeah, because what I was trying to say was I was hitchhiking one night, and it was like eight lanes of highway, quiet. I mean, you could hear a pin drop, and I was sitting there saying, most people would say, well, didn't you feel alone at that time? I was like, that was the thing. I didn't feel alone.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was so much around me, like there was angels and God and the angels.
Yeah.
almost like hearing the voice saying, you've never been alone.
Yeah, we are not alone. I believe
that companionship you're missing.
No, it's not companionship I'm missing. It's like I miss that contact with what you just mentioned, like that realigning with that, and that's kind of you know, you need to reach out, you need to do a little prayer and make sure that they, you know, that they're welcome. Because if you don't call out, then you know they're not going to come. They're not going to come. Can't assume that they're going to just show up. But you have to really pray and make sure you set that intention. Like, yeah, you guys are welcome here. You know.
Mhm.
So I feel like that's
your soulmate too, right? You just like, it's just the idea of calling out or calling in, which way you want to go with it, your soulmate, and say, okay, I know she. For me, I always say she. I know she. I'm ready for her. I know she exists. And I know the universe is orchestrating our meeting right now.
Yeah, you and her, wherever she is, you know, she may be younger than you, but I'm sure you're going to find, she's going to find you. And, you just keep looking at it. The whole thing about wanting is not...
We got it, arms.
You can't want something. But you can, you know, learn to create it, I guess.
I sit here and take it like this. I sit here and say, okay, I want this, and now I would love to have it right now.
You kind of ever heard about this woman, Catherine Woodward? She keeps making all these soulmate thing calls and stuff like that. Thousands of women.
Yeah, I got this one. I just got, and it's actually called The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford. But I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
But I think I actually got some stuff with her, too. And then there was Debbie Ford, and then Debbie Ford also. Debbie Ford is actually Ariel Ford's sister, I think. And they've written a couple of books I've seen on Amazon. And I was checking those books out, too. And I got this other one, too, called Excuse Me, Your Soulmate's Waiting.
Haha. Is that good?
And I'm actually... Yeah, let's put it this way. They're getting good. That's like I've been reading a lot of things in there, and I actually started writing another journal with exclusive stuff that I've written in there too, where I tell people it's great to go check these things out and get the affirmations out of the books themselves, because you can actually reword them and that kind of stuff so they actually fit you. And then I was sitting there looking at this one here. I got this. I got some angel cards.
By the way, do you know about the wish game?
The wish game?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's right. Friday nights, 8 o'clock.
Kind of the weirdest thing out there right now. I think it's the hype. It's like a game that, you know, you play with others. You talk about you affirm your wish. And mm-hmm. has this whole game around it, and you throw a dice and everything, and you pull cards, and everything that's in the way of your wish, and you get to really think about it and go really deep with it, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, gives you kind of like a good feeling about that the universe, you know.
Oh yeah.
You.
I just saw. Dr. Wayne Dreyer's got a book out now called Wishes Fulfilled.
Yeah, no, that's not the one, though.
Cool.
I'm just saying, it's a trend.
Okay, well, I'm just reading The Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer, so, and I'm loving it.
The Intentions. I like that one, Excuses Be Gone. When he said, excuses are just things to keep us from where we really want to be.
Can you envision people actually living like Dr. Wayne's books, like one day that people will be actually living like that? And they'll be laughing at
yeah.
He has lived in the past, that there was a civilization once that lived to hate themselves and destroy themselves. There was ever a civilization like that, with full of hate and destruction and corruption and fear.
The Roman Empire.
No, it's still the Roman Empire. We are Roman Empire.
Yeah, because that's one thing people don't realize, that the Roman Empire was actually classified as democracy. And it was actually before the Roman Empire fell, the last guy had actually declared that it was also a Christian state too as well. But the only difference was if you wouldn't conform to being a Christian, they could also work against you too. So it wasn't freedom. It was things that were dictated. But also I told a friend of mine, I said, do you know what the difference is between now and then, Roman Empire now?
What?
The slaves get paid and they have insurance.
Oh, yeah, very smart. And
you know,
where are you in that classification then?
Well, I was telling my friend yesterday too, I said, think about this. See, Jesus, the fishermen, people, even a tax collector was actually classified as being self-employed. So they basically had their own businesses. They were wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, that was sinners. So we pointed one thing out of the Bible where it says, Jesus said it's hard to get a camel through the eye of the needle as it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And then the disciples come back and say, well, if that's the case, then who gets to go to heaven?
Yeah.
I don't think people caught that. Why would they ask the question if it wasn't because of their own status of wondering, okay, how can we get there? And what he's saying is, it's hard for a camel to get through the eye of the needle, which is actually the doorway into the city back in the day.
Yeah.
They had a big down. He had walls around him, and that front part, even in some cities, it even looked like a keyhole.
Yeah.
So the camel had to get down on his knees and crawl through it, because basically the entranceways were made for humans.
Interesting.
So what it's saying is, it's hard for that camel to go through there, but it's not impossible. And that's why he's trying to get to the disciples, saying, okay, it's hard for a rich man to get to heaven because he has a hard time of letting go of his materialistic side.
Yep.
So when we sit and take that whole situation, it means focus on spirituality, as in the spirit and the soul and what it's all about. So I was thinking, I found this thing. I was going to sit here and share this with you real quick, because I actually got this book. I actually got this in the book, The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford. It's a prayer for manifesting your soulmate twin flame. And it goes something like this, a one and a two. I'm just kidding. But it says, God and all that
Let's
is.
Get them.
In this moment, I am grateful for the healing of my heart, of everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate twin flame. In this moment, I remember that my perfect right partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate twin flame's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting, and so it is.
Amen.
Amen.
It's just that now we have to be patient.
That's right.
And we're like,
no,
no, that this is what we do. We just keep opening the door. Is he there yet? Is he there yet? And is he there yet? And we're missing the moment.
Well, if she's there, yeah.
Yeah,
is she there?
We do.
We're missing the moment. Okay, let me see if he's there already. It's like, you know, when somebody special is coming to town, oh, he's going to give all the gifts, and everybody's looking forward to the gifts, but some people are waiting
I like this
for
one.
Here. What?
Right. I like this one. I like this one here. It says, do you love me because I'm beautiful, or am I beautiful because I love you? I love me.
Oh, I don't get it.
It says, do you love me because I am beautiful, or am I beautiful because you love me?
Oh, I love that one. I love that one. That is so fucking, oops, that's so beautiful.
Here's one for you. It says, immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you.
Ooh, is that true?
So, yeah, because I was sitting there going, just walk through life. A soulmate is someone to whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and commuting that takes place between us were not produced of intentional efforts, but rather a divine grace. This kind of relationship is so important to the soul that many have said, there is nothing more precious in life.
Do you think that exists, that type of sentence, in real life?
Yeah, I do. It's just the idea that I feel like the one key factor is to have that kind of love for ourselves. So therefore we can attract a person who does the same thing with themselves, so we can actually not just... Because, you know, the idea of finding someone to make happy is going to make you frustrated. It's the idea of being happy with oneself and attracting someone you can be happy with. And
yeah.
You should never have any problems making each other happy, because you know what it is. You know what to do, and you're always listening. Communication, usually between two people, before they get into a great relationship, the communication is already started before they actually met. Was that a cat? I hope so. Anyway.
Sorry about that, but no, that was me yawning.
Okay, it says right here. Yeah, it says that she has some exercises in there where you take this, and it says like this one here, you say, I am loved, I am lovable, I am loved. And you say it like four or five times, and then after you get done with it, you say, and so it is. And then there's another one here, it says, you were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Say it seven times. And what I do is it says, I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. And this is what I'm talking about. I believe that my soulmate twin flame exists, and I am deserving of her. And the universe is skillfully orchestrating our meeting now. So be it, so it is. And then we put an old twist on it and say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned.
Shem Shalabim.
Yeah, buddy. And then I sit there, and then she wrote this one in here too, where it's about money. I found this one here. It says, I am on my way to becoming $1 million richer. And I said, on my way? I wrote it differently. I said, I am $1 million richer.
You got to like before you go to sleep, and when just, you know, in the theta state, we go more deeper into the unconscious mind. So you have to kind of really relax and say those things to yourself. And
the beta stage. That beta stage means bait, as in we're baiting the universe to give us what we want.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You have to be in a different state. You can't just, like, you can just kill yourself saying those affirmations. It will never work.
Well, I sit there and work.
The brain doesn't change. Whatever you put in it 15 years ago when you were a child, that's how it operates. It's not going
to... Well, I'm just saying. Tell people to sit there and say your affirmation like this. And I was talking to my girlfriend when I was sitting there going over the whole thing. I said, okay, say it like this. And she goes, okay, what do you mean say it like this? I said, well, you have some affirmations in here. And it says, when we're talking about materialistic stuff, I am $1 million richer. But say it from your diaphragm so it vibrates through your body. So you can feel the vibration. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to raise your vibration to the vibration of I'm being $1 million richer. Right?
Yeah. Something like that. See, something like that. Use your bhakti or your unconscious.
Yeah, because we were actually doing, we were sitting there going over things like chakra chanting, where for the root chakra, it's lam, lam. And I just take deep breaths.
What do you kind of do for a living? Do you work or do you just have your own practice? Or do you want to, what do you kind of do?
Oh, this is what I do. I work for two companies. Actually, I work for three psychic companies. I have a website where I have private clients, and I have a radio show. Of course I do. I'm sorry. Of course she knows I have a radio show. She just called it. Anyway, I have the radio show. We're putting a lot more into that. Yeah, we do. We actually do radio shows now. We are on almost 7 days a week.
You're on this morning. You're going to be on at 9 a.m.
That's right. So join us.
Forget it. I'm not going to be joining you in the morning. I only do this at night because I like to hear people's voices at night.
Okay. Anna, thank you for calling in. We love you too.
Oh, you gave me a really sweet reading. Thanks for motivating me to stay focused on my path. I needed to hear that.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Because I was sitting there going over the thing with real estate, like this when I got an affirmation for this, because I found this website. I found this thing on YouTube. I can't remember the address on the whole thing, but it was basically affirmations for almost every part of your life. I got material affirmations. I got spiritual affirmations. I love this one. My primary intention.
Can you hear me?
Huh?
No, look into that thing called The Wish. It's kind of an expensive game. It's like $125. It's hard to find how to get it. It's hard to find, but you'll find it on the internet. But it's like you wish something and then you really work on it through cards and stuff. It's like it goes deep, like a tarot. It's like deep with stones, with gemstones. Go on YouTube and look into it. Pretty interesting. You could like.
The
Make
Wish
of
by
that.
Gail Carson Levins. Really? There's a lot of The Wish. On here there's The Wish, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No. It's called The Wish Game. The Wish Game.
Make a Wish Foundation.
No, it's called The Wish Game.
Do you know who originated it? Was there a person like there's
someone from Australia? Yeah, I could find it. Hold on, I'll find it.
Here it is. It says The Wish. It says The Wish is a new energy game that connects you with your deepest wishes and through powerful messages and insights guides you to achieve them. That must be what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think only one woman sells them from Minnesota or someone. Minneapolis, someone from another state.
I wish to be financially secure. I wish
I found my soulmate. I wish I was a little bit this, and I wish I was that.
Buy the wish for.
It's really expensive.
This one here is $99.
How much?
$99.
Ah, you're lucky. So much more.
Yeah, you're talking about. It's got the wish cards, the wish crystals. Why the wish is so powerful?
Oh no! I paid $125. What's that website called? Is it from Australia?
That's a good question.
You might be looking at Australian dollars.
This is buy the wish for